Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, you please take the roll.
Commissioner Micklegg?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Excused.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in a pledge of allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You should have before you the regular meeting minutes of April 4th, 2013. Any questions on the minutes? Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, do I have to suspend the regular order of business?
Or? Move with suspension of the regular order of business.
So I have a question. There are people for the architectural board, and I think some of them were sitting in here, and I have to direct them to come around.
Okay, this is the plan commission for the city, and the architectural board meeting is meeting down the hallway, just in case. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded regarding the minutes. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item three. Let me just see if I can get a showing of hands here. How many people are here for item A? Okay. Item B, probably. Item C. How about item C? Okay. Let's take up item C first. And Mr. Deedle?
There is a public hearing on this one.
Okay.
Natural resource special exception.
Okay. Is there a presentation first, or you want? We'll read the notice.
Presentation first.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like your microphone's on. And I was reminded once again that all of us should use our microphones so everybody can hear, and if they want to get the digital record of this, they'll be able to hear you on the tape.
This is a natural resource special exception for the high school. As people may be aware, the high school referendum passed last year for an expansion of the high school. As part of that expansion, they're going to be impacting some wetlands. And the city of Franklin protects all wetlands setbacks from those wetlands and additional buffers as well. To be able to build within those areas or remove those areas requires a special exception, which includes this public hearing. The public hearing is to get public comment on those changes, specifically on those natural resource impact changes. There's a related item on this agenda as well, not part of the public hearing, which is the site plan for the school itself. There's two separate but related items. The public hearing is just for the natural resource changes. In regards to the natural resource changes, there are nine wetlands on the site. Four of them will be impacted, which means that development or land disturbing activities will occur within or adjacent to those wetlands.
Is that the map of what the area we're talking about?
No. Nicola put the map up.
Okay.
The, of those four wetlands that are planned to be impacted, one of them has already received a letter from the DNR saying that it's exempt from DNR regulations because it's related to stormwater management. We also have that same exemption in our ordinance citywide, so that wetland would not require this natural resource special exception. That leaves three wetlands that would be impacted. The school believes that they can get similar letters from the DNR about those three remaining wetlands, but I don't believe they've received those yet. So that's why we're proceeding with this matter. The school is also asked to proceed as expeditiously as possible on this project. That comes into play from the standpoint there is no final field delineation of these resources because the school is waiting to get the consultant out there this spring. Also, because of that, there are no DNR or Army Corps approvals for any approvals that might be necessary yet. However, that has been common in the past for numerous projects not to have those approvals yet. Those would be conditions of any approval the city has. The school would be required to get those approvals as well. So again, it's boiling down to They're impacting protected natural resources, probably three wetlands and the buffers and setbacks associated with them. The applicant is hoping to get some letters from the DNR that says those wetlands are also exempt for stormwater management purposes. It has to be stormwater management purposes. Otherwise, it wouldn't qualify under our city ordinance exemption also. But in the meantime, to be as expeditious as possible, the city and the school district are proceeding with this just in case. Then the last piece of the puzzle, oftentimes for these impacts, there is mitigation. Either replace the wetlands and setbacks and buffers that are lost or something similar. The applicant hasn't done that yet either. Staff would be recommending approval with all these conditions, DNR approval if necessary, Army Corps approval if necessary, and mitigation as well. That's all set forth in the report. And then the Plan Commission makes a recommendation on this matter and forwards that to the Common Council, and the Common Council would have the final say. Also, I can mention the Environmental Commission had the first look at this, and they did recommend approval with the mitigation suggested by staff, which is the 1.5-to-1 ratio. So I think that's a summary.
Okay, Mr. Fuchs, do you have a public notice to read?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 9th, 2013 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as a matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application from Franklin Public Schools for a special exception to natural resource feature provisions for property located at 8222 South 51st Street, zoned I-1 Institutional District, FW Floodway District, and C-1 Conservancy District. The requested special exception to natural resource feature provisions is for the purpose of allowing approximately 690 square feet of filling and grading of wetland 8, approximately 510 square feet of filling and grading of wetland 9, approximately 6,400 square feet of wetland buffer filling and grading surrounding wetlands 8 and 9, and approximately 15,700 square feet of wetland setback filling and grading surrounding wetlands 8 and 9. For the expansion of the Franklin High School building, approximately 216 square feet of filling and grading of wetland 6, approximately 1,783 square feet of filling and grading of the buffer of wetland 6, and approximately 2,968 square feet of filling and grading of the setback of wetland 6. For construction of the access drive to the Franklin High School football sports practice fields.
All right, I'm going to open this item up for public hearing. This is item C, Franklin Public Schools, Franklin High School building addition or renovations. Are there anyone from the public wishing to speak? Do we need to take testimony?
Under the municipal code, the Unified Development Ordinance, special exception, public hearings require that anyone speaking be sworn in under oath.
So, does anyone wish to speak and or testify and be sworn in? Yes, sir, if you could. And I'll ask the city attorney to ask the proper questions.
You've done that before.
Different
terms.
Please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name, spell your last name, state your address for the record, and then proceed.
Bruce Kaniewski, Kaniewski, 7719 West Coventry Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. I'd like to speak in favor of granting approval of this proposal. Sustainability means balancing the needs of current and future citizens to enjoy a suitable built environment while appropriately managing our natural resources for future generations. You've heard this from me numerous times before during the 1990s and in other ways. We have an 80-acre site that is a community resource, busy with activities from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. almost every day of the week, and most weekends as well. Even during the summer, it's busy with activities. The facilities on this 80 acres need to grow commensurate with the city growth of the last 20, 30 years. What's the alternative? We find another high school site at a cost to the community. What I've heard, $125 million. We've gone that route. Been there. It was defeated. And we all know there are not any other sites in Franklin that are absent of natural resources. Every site in the city has issues. We know that. Even the new Seward area. And then what happens if the site is vacated if we have to build a new high school site because we can't expand here? Moved middle school here. We've gone that route before, but then we know the enrollment projections aren't great enough to fill a vacant middle school, the current middle school site. So community resource that's left vacant. I reviewed the site plan the other day when I stopped in to talk to Commissioner Bennett on another issue, and I saw it laying at planning department's desk, so I looked at it. And the proposal is as sensitive as possible to protect the majority of the natural resources. And nearby, there are protective measures already in place within this drainage basin that comes with the cost of public purchase and loss of property tax revenue. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. Let's properly use what is available to us. That's the sustainable strategies for community development. And just one more last thing. I understand when you get to the site plan review, there's some issues about parking. I vouch firsthand from lots of experience, going to a lot of activities at the high school over the past 10, 12 years, parking is needed. When my son played high school football, we got there an hour and a half to 2 hours before to get a parking space on site. And not, we get there, I knew exactly what time. You got there just a little late, you're parking way, way away. And not just when there's sporting events. If there's multiple events, something going on in the cafeteria, and then a basketball game going on, I've been there for events like that too. Community events in the cafeteria, basketball game, there's no parking on the site. So I just want to bolster the parking, because I understand that's an issue as well. Thank you.
Could you maybe, sir, explain some of your history or education regarding planning?
Well, I have a master's degree in urban planning from University of Milwaukee. I was a planner here from 1990, November 5th, as the city attorney would remember, to 2001. Been a municipal planner for 30 years. Right now, I own my own consulting firm, this BK Planning Strategies, and I consult with communities in Waukesha County. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to come forward and testify? Is there anyone else wishing to come forward during the public hearing? Going once, going twice, three times. Anyone wishing to come forward to give testimony? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And is there an item on this agenda? Well, I should ask, perhaps I should ask the commissioners if they have any questions or comments. Mr. Fowler.
I'm in support of this moving forward. This has been something I've been looking for a long time. I think the high school is one of the things that will help the city grow. I think with the auditorium, with the practice field, and some of the facilities that have been doing a lot of work, they're starting to show their age, and I just think this is a wonderful move for the city. It was a tough sell for the city. It is expensive, but I think it's going to be well worth the investment. And I don't believe there is an alternative, as was just pointed out to us. There is no alternative to do it this way, so I'm in favor.
Anyone else, any plan commissioners? If not, just comment, and I absolutely agree with everything that Mr. Konitsky just got done saying. And you heard his background and his expertise. In many respects, Bruce had a great deal to do with building this community, and I guess we never really got forward and thanked Bruce appropriately, but I'll thank you now. The thing that always struck me when I was an alderman was there was a phrase in the ordinances, it's highest and best use, and that we're supposed to look out for the best welfare of the citizens. I, too, think that this is in the best interest of the citizens. In fact, the people have spoken loud and clear regarding this item and that their desire to have it move forward. Whether you be on this side or that, we do live in a democracy and majority rules, and I think this is going to be a fine addition to the city. I was just quoted as saying, I think the center of the community is shortly going to move over to that site because everything is going to be going on over at that high school, and I think it's pretty terrific. So with that, I too support this wholeheartedly. If there's nothing else, is there another item in the packet for action?
I still just want to be clear that there are a number of conditions in the resolution. Those conditions are also for the natural resource special exception are also included in the site plan resolution.
Okay.
So I wish to make sure the plan commission is aware of those conditions as well. We are asking for mitigation. We would be open to flexibility in that mitigation, and the recommendation would be that they would submit a revised plan with that mitigation for environmental commission, plan commission, common council approval. And if that is, if plan commission is comfortable with that, yes, there is a related item, the site plan itself. Which, if you wish to address that now, you could, or later
well,
on.
Well, my agenda. Question was, is there an item related to this or not? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney?
Only that the contemplated motion or prepared motion for consideration by the plan commission contemplates that the recommendation of the plan commission would incorporate staff's comments and conditions to be included in the special exception decision draft, which equate to those provisions and conditions in the recommendations of the environmental commission.
Okay. I do have a recommended motion in front of me, actually, too. I'm just wondering if the one that I have here, that's okay with the addition of staff recommendations as well. All right. With that, I would ask for a motion to recommend approval of the Franklin High School Natural Resource Features Special Exception pursuant to the standards, findings, and decision recommended by the Plan Commission and Common Council consideration of any Environmental Commission recommendation.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Anything else that we need to approve for the high school tonight?
A site plan.
Okay.
Do that now or later?
Yeah, let's do that now.
The site plan is, the plan commission has been authorized by the Common Council and the city ordinances to make the decision on a site plan. So this site plan approval would be final by plan commission. The natural resource special exception that was just acted on would be forwarded to the Common Council. The high school will need both approvals to be able to proceed with their project. Staff is also recommending approval of the site plan with a number of conditions as well. I would summarize by saying that the most significant conditions will probably pertain to the parking lot. Staff is recommending that a parking plan be done and resubmitted for plan commission review and approval to address some issues that staff raised. The issues include the parking stalls themselves are shorter than the ordinance requires. Some of the snow storage areas, for instance, are where the landscaping is, and staff is concerned that pushing snow into those areas would kill the landscaping. They are asking, the high school is asking for a 25% increase in the city's parking amount of parking. The plan commission is authorized to approve anything over our standard, specifically anything over 10% that requires their approval. That has been set forward in the resolution, so if the plan commission was comfortable with that, they could do that. It's already in the resolution. But we do point out that they are asking, the school is asking for a 25% increase in the parking. Related to the parking are some issues with the landscaping. The applicant, the high school, is also asking for a reduction of the amount of landscaping. They've shown the correct amount of landscaping per city requirements on their plans, but they're asking for a reduction from that amount. They would propose to keep the landscaping on the peripheries of their site as shown, but reduce the amount of landscaping inside the parking lot. And that would be part of the parking plan as well that we are recommending be brought back for further work by the high school and further review by the plan commission. There are a couple other conditions that staff has, but I would say that was the most significant one. The city engineer has pointed out that there has been a traffic impact analysis prepared for this project, That study done by a consultant indicates that the intersection 51st at Drexel will need some improvements in the future. And the city engineer wanted to point out that in most instances, the city would assign those improvements, the costs of those improvements, to that adjacent development. And that would have to be a decision of the planning commission and common council to decide to do that.
As far as the money is concerned, that's a council decision.
Correct. And a recommendation could come from the planning commission to the council. The council makes the final decision. And the city engineer wanted to point that out specifically.
Just so I'm clear, the school district is asking for more parking. Is that correct?
Doubling their parking.
Doubling the parking. Okay.
And that so right now their parking is under the city standards, below the city standards. By doubling it, that would put them 25% over our standards.
Okay. I'm going to put you under some heat right now. Have you ever been over to the high school for one of their concerts?
I have driven by during.
It's not good enough.
But I have never parked there and gone to.
Have you, or to their one of the plays that the kids put on over at the high school?
No.
Well, it's flat out terrific. And now that they're going to have a auditorium, I guarantee you, even the parking that they're asking for is not going to be enough. Especially if there's a football game or other activities in the area at night. Not because I'm the mayor or anything, but you know, the kids over in Franklin schools are very, very talented. And when they put on their next play in that auditorium, I think you're going to have to go through Ticketron to try and get a ticket for the event. That's how good they are. So normally, you know, I'm a person that doesn't like all the parking spaces. I'm always trying to reduce it. But in this particular case, I think the more parking, the better. Anyone else?
Have you talked with the applicant about these?
Yes, there are a few conditions they are not comfortable with. They are not comfortable reducing the amount of parking. They are not comfortable keeping the amount of landscaping that is currently shown in the plan. In the previous matter, they may have concerns with that mitigation as well. If the DNR doesn't come through with those letters exempting those wetlands, they may have issues with that mitigation as well. But that would be worked out when they provide whatever they are able to do for the Planning Commission and Council. Those are the main issues they had. Some of the other items, further details on the site amenities, they had no issues with. We identified that even the drive aisles are a little bit small, but we had no issue with that, so everybody's comfortable. But I would say that those were the three main issues. And for the site plan, the two. They don't want to reduce the parking lot, and they do want to reduce the landscape.
I'm going to second what the mayor said. The parking is going to be inadequate, probably, when they have some of the events they have already. So I would like to see that.
We did identify one other area they could put parking. Our thought was in place of, but if the planning commission had concerns, it could be in addition to what they already have.
But looking at the plans, it seems to me that they were really trying to squeeze as many parking spaces into the areas by avoiding some of the natural resources that they're trying to step in. I don't know if the designers are here, but it seemed to me that that's what they were trying to do, so I think we should try to work with them. And I'd much rather have them save those resources than perhaps maybe give up. And I'm one that always likes landscaping as well. But if we could sacrifice some of the landscaping inside to preserve some of the extra space that they'd be asking for to expand that by including that landscaping, I think it'd be something we could work with the school district to try to achieve. But I don't know if that's a correct assumption on my part or not.
Yes, and we have suggestions about the landscaping, about the parking plan as well, and points out some of those items. You know, one of the suggestions would be move the landscaping out of the parking lot and put it somewhere else. So instead of totally eliminating it, like the OL2 district, we have an overlay district for the Fountains of Franklin area. That was incorporated there where the landscaping totals would still remain, but the applicant, the property owners, could move the landscaping to wherever it fits best.
And the applicant is, would seem to be.
I haven't heard back on that specific suggestion.
Mr. Baker?
Can we get a site plan up that shows the surrounding neighborhoods as well, the subdivision to the east?
Yeah.
What I'd like to know or explore is if in the plan that we're going to put these new fields here, there's a cross-country trail, I believe, that's going to go through here. Has there been any discussion about getting a well-trafficked trail to the east side so that there's entrance and egress to the back? Because anybody in this neighborhood who wants to go to an event or go to school in the morning has to drive out and around on 51st or out and around on 51st, and this is where everything's plugged up. So even if you wanted to take your bike or walk, there's no way through here except for some of the little goat paths that have been made, which aren't necessarily the safest thing in the world to have. So has the district looked at a trail network that is incorporated with their cross-country trail so that this whole neighborhood here has a way in it, also a neighborhood here? And we have neighborhoods up here that if they can cross Drexel safely, they could get down there as well. Now, that's not going to solve the parking problem, but it's going to take a little pressure off.
I think we mentioned it during staff comments, but it's not in the staff report. And I would suspect, therefore, that they weren't interested in doing that. There is one connection to the subdivisions immediately south of the school.
This one?
Yeah. That's the only one that I'm aware of.
And that was the one that had a little problem with the...
People were just cutting across. And
they're going to cut across anyway, but now it's a... It's like a blessed
trail. I went there
just
a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It's like a normal sidewalk.
So how do we open a discussion as to getting some relief up there for walking or biking?
Now would be the perfect time. Plan Commission, if they felt strongly enough about it, could make it a condition of your approval or discuss it with the applicants right now.
Well, I'd like to do that. I'd like to explore in a very serious manner. Making sure that there is a bike and walking connection to the east that is established so that it's well-traveled, that makes it safe, and also makes it safe for the people who live around it. They have defensible space around it and everything like that. It's not just what it is now. If kids or somebody wants to get through there, they'll duck through the first little opening they see. Whereas we have the High View stub here, I think there's another stub down here as well. And the cross-country path is a perfect trail to start with as a trail to use. And then there was a bridge over here, and that washed out in 08 and never has been replaced. So that also is another way in. Now, as somebody who lives right in this area here, I still have to now and then pick up my daughter, take her to school, which is odd. But it means 51st Street becomes that much more congested. So if we could get congestion off there by somehow getting in and out of there. If the high school is a community asset and there's performing arts going on there as well as sports, the community could have access to the cross-country trails and use them. And I think this is something we'd have to petition for, at least, ask for.
Okay, I have a suggestion. If there's no significant... objections to the recommendations from the Plan Commission or from the planning staff, and there's no objections to the increase to the 25% parking, that put a motion on the floor, and then once we get a second, Mr. Micklett could ask for an amendment to the motion, which would include the path and the recommendations, and that way the Council, when it gets to the council, will have two of them. Will have the motion in front of them as well as the amendment to the motion. So I do have a recommended motion. That would be a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for property located at 8222 South 51st Street to allow for a 25% parking increase and additions and renovations to the Franklin High School building and site. Is there a second? It's been moved and second. Anybody offering an amendment?
I would like to offer an amendment. I would like to amend the motion to include a trail to the east to connect the subdivision to the east of the high school for entrance and egress from that direction.
That the council take that up or consider
and have
that?
The council consider that.
Okay, is there
two trails?
There's two stub streets.
And explore all options, two stubs, so I'll see if we could get two entries.
I believe
there's only one.
Excuse me? Is there a second one?
No, there's just one.
There's only one, I believe.
You're seeing the creep there.
Well, then these are recommendations.
The challenge would be is that we've... Mark Cloutier,
Franklin Public. Yeah, the only reason I'm hesitating is we have a practice of suspending the regular order of business, and but I think we all trust you that there's one there. I do.
I think what he's trying to point out is that there is one stuff.
There's that one here.
How about, could I ask you to maybe take another stab at making a motion for the amendment?
To make it?
The same, yeah, whatever you just said.
To amend the motion to include a trail to the east of the high school to connect 47th Street and the neighborhood beyond.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. The moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the amendment? Mr. Ritter?
Frankly, I'd like to see some input from the applicant before we vote on the matter. I'm supportive of it, but I'd like to know if there's some, what the applicant sees as prohibitive practical problems or things that we should be aware of before we take action.
Is there anybody in the audience that could speak to that, like you? Maybe you could come up here and... Mr. Cloutier?
From other getting set up, the concern I would have if we did put a trail there, even though I'm supportive of it, would we have to do some type of parking restriction in that neighborhood? Because if you have high school kids parking along Drexel or elsewhere, I'd be concerned that parking would be there.
Well, and just so we don't get ahead of ourselves, this is the Plan Commission, which is an advisory body, and the real party that will decide... Yes.
Site plan approval rests with Plan Commission. So if a decision was made to include a trail that would be included on the site plan, there should be specifications for it as well as detailed location, but that final decision rests with Plan Commission as part of this resolution.
Even though they're adding something new that hasn't been part of any discussion?
Site plan approval, Plan Commission only. Special exception for the natural resources is a common council decision, but site plans are decided by Plan Commission.
Okay, I just I don't know that you and I have argued in about 15 years, but kind of put my old alderman hat on, and I'm going, there's some money involved here, and which may not have been budgeted for or addressed. And I just don't see it as simple as a site plan issue, but I guess I'll wait to see what happens here and who's going to pay for what. Yes, sir, if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. My name is Bob Weigert. I'm with Epstein Union Architects. We're at 333 East Washington, 333 East Michigan, Chicago. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You know, everything was going so funny.
Until right then. Ay. Well, thank you.
Packer fan, though.
Thank you. Right, yes. Yeah, okay. Thank you for the input so far. There's really just kind of three things that we'd like to get some clarification to relative to the motions. One of them was the parking stall depth that was brought up. We are looking for a reduction from 20 feet to 18 feet. We're also looking for the landscape reduction within the parking area. So the perimeter of the site is landscaped per the ordinance, and the plan is, as was indicated, is shown with all the landscaping per the ordinance right now. We're looking for a reduction within that parking area. And then lastly, in the recommendation, and I'm not exactly sure where this comes up, but in the actual document that I received yesterday, the resolution document, there's a note at the end, right in the last paragraph. It talks about that the fourth line in, that the project basically shall be developed and constructed within 1 year from the date of adoption of this resolution. That will not be the case. We will not be done with the project in a year. So I just want to make sure that piece, we can't get it done in a year. I just want to make sure that gets changed. We're looking at finalizing the project around August of 2015.
We're currently on the amendment.
Okay.
With the bike path.
No.
But go ahead.
Well, Well, those were the three things that I just wanted to bring up. As far as the bike path goes, I'll let Mark talk.
Okay. Well, if you could, please state your name and address.
Mark Cloutier, Franklin Public Schools, 8255 West Forest Hill Avenue, Franklin. A couple of things that I would see with the bike path, with an addition of a path out to the east, would be, as mentioned here, would be the additional parking that the students would use out there. And as you know, I believe we have no parking all the way back to about 43rd Street at this point. So that would be a problem. It would also be a problem because, quite honestly, those cross-country trails are an athletic field. And I've already gotten phone calls in June saying, when are you going to mow the walking paths? Well, they're not walking paths. They're an athletic field that we use for cross-country. And so we mow it and we maintain it for several months out of the year, but not the entire year. So that would also cause problems with that. As well as, does it open up that woods to more traffic and more problems? That would be my other concern. But the district would prefer not to have that additional access to the site. We've long stayed away from paving or having any kind of a road back there because we think it'll bring more problems back there than we already have.
Okay, I guess I would ask you a question. Did you budget for a path?
Well, that would be additionally, we have not budgeted for that path as well.
Yeah, Mr. Micklin.
If we're approving the site plan tonight, one thing we haven't talked about, and we could spend a whole evening talking about, based on my experience in shuttling in and out of the high school, and it's a community asset. People, even if you don't have students, you're going to be going in and out of the high school, is the fact that we do indeed have a nice sidewalk here on 51st Street, which gets a lot of use, people who want to take a walk, kids who are going to school and back. But walking from the school to that road, you have to walk through the worst drivers in the world, statistically. 16, 17, 18-year-old drivers all through here. So even if you wanted to take a safe route, there is sort of a little release valve here. We have that little trail here, which I haven't heard any trouble calls for yet. But anybody who wants another way out, they can't get this way. They can't get this way or this way. They have to go through the area where all the buses go all in a line, all the cars go all in a line. And these are some pretty impatient and perturbed people, me being one of them on some mornings. And it just becomes quite a bottleneck, even with the new, you have an in-only now in one of your... but what I didn't see in the plans is how does somebody who lives over here or lives over here or over here, how do they safely get from the school to the sidewalk? And I see that there are some sort of ad hoc pathways, but they have to cross over a lot of parking.
We do have sidewalks.
There's three sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
From the 51st Street sidewalk to the school. There's three in the new site plan.
And they cross the parking areas?
They cross drive lanes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's parallel to the main drive, but they're controlled with crosswalks and stop signs in many cases. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. Kevin Byrne, landscape architect and site planner with Kapoor and Associates. 7711 Northport, Washington Road, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As far as pedestrian circulation on the site, we did address that by adding three sidewalks from the high school down to 51st Street. They all have controlled painted crosswalks. Some have stop signs. They go either along the main drive lane, along the northernmost area of parking and drive lane, or through the middle islands of the south parking area. And as far as parking sidewalks going through parking lots, that's a struggle that we have on every school design. Very rarely are we able to bring a sidewalk all the way up to a school without it crossing some kind of drive lane entry. I really wouldn't consider it much different than someone coming from Drexel and 51st Street and having to cross over one of the drive lanes to get to the sidewalk and up and into the site. But definitely compared to the site as it sits now, where you are correct, there really isn't any pedestrian access from the main entry down to 51st Street. We've now basically tripled that by providing three distinct pedestrian sidewalks from the entry to 51st Street and maintaining the sidewalk to the southern residential area.
Okay, but at the same time, they do cross. You have to cross the roads that all the buses and the cars are going through.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Ritter, I can see you thinking.
Well, there are. Just to add to that, there are speed bumps that are designed into the project as well, as well as the whole entire drop-off lane next to the school will be, from a programming standpoint, very controlled as far as the buses being lined up there for pickup. When those vehicles are there for pickup, it's not going to be an easy matter to go zooming through there with the new design.
First, I want to make sure that I'm up to date on this. Is there a pedestrian access to the neighborhood to the south? There's been some history on that. It was established at one point. I know there were some problems with it. It looks like it's, would it be correct that it's there and functioning now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How would you see that as being different from an access to the east? Do you see the access to the south as a problem? Do you don't want to repeat that to the east? Or do you see differences between the access to the south and an access to the east?
The access to the east would be much more distant from the building itself. It would be into a quieter area of the building, and it would also be through a woods, whereas that one is opens directly through a small tree line and opens directly onto a mowed, maintained section, and it's right next to the building.
Do you see it as not practical, Commissioner Michelin had described earlier, sort of more open area to allow safe transit? Do you see that as not achievable on the east side because of the existing woodlands? Or
well, I think we would likely have to take down quite a few trees to create something like that. But our cross country trail is an athletic field, and everybody seems to want to use it as a walking path and walk their dogs, and we've got to clean it up. We've also got a lot of stuff back there where people like to dump. And so anything we can do to, I think, limit the access to that area back there would be helpful to us. Some of those neighbors have built paths into our land, into the community's land. They've dumped their brush there for years. Any additional access into that area, I think, just allows more of that to happen. And we wouldn't see it happening. Whereas if from the south, you're right there, you're at the school, you're in a mowed section right away. It's a different feel, different look.
Mr. Ridley? Mr. Ritter had the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think what you're describing is exactly what happens with an ad hoc trail. Whereas if you have an established, well-trafficked trail, people tend to treat it as a community asset. And I mean, if you see anybody on the Oakleaf Trail drop a wrapper, you're going to see about 16 other people jump on that person and say, pick up that wrapper, because that's the community's trail. And that's the same sort of thing I'm looking for. This neighborhood right now is sort of at the mercy of whether somebody has the nerve to cut in or if they want to go in. So the kind of people who go into a trail that isn't a trail act a different way. The kind of people who use a trail that has been prepared for them on a community asset, treat it as a community asset. That's the experience that most communities have. And since we're trying to build a community, that's what we have to do, is find the most ways and the easiest ways in. And if we have a parking problem, and we do, there is a parking problem, you got to find some release valve. There's X amount of land. We can't get any more land. So if you can get even 15 cars to decide we don't need to drive from that house right there all the way around to get in, instead I'm just going to take a walk, bring my blanket with me, and watch the football game. That saves some space right there.
Okay. Mr. Haley?
I guess I would just add to that. It's a mistake not to have it. It's a public street right-of-way. You can't preclude people from walking through there. You're going to get that traffic coming through. Sort of putting up an extensive fence is public street right-of-way to a public school. I don't know why you can't just embrace it and unite to the neighborhood and make it a sanctioned, safe trail. See any significant cost. It'll be one of those problems that you'll be undoing and repairing 3 years from now, because you're going to find that trail cuts through there, that the people have found it, it's legal, and they can walk right through there. So why not accommodate it now? We've got a site which is being built up. We're putting a lot on it. We all know about the quantity of people that move in and out of the site, and I think it's foolish not to find as many ways to get people in and out, in particular without a vehicle, because most of the problems on that site are because of the huge demand for car traffic. It's the only way in and out. There's two entrances. You're going to make more. You're going to have more cars coming and going. You really need to try to accommodate alternate means of transportation, walking, bicycle, safely and securely. That's good site design. And to just turn your back and say, we don't like it, we don't want it, I think is going to be a mistake. And one that will bite you in the end, because you'll be back there building a sidewalk in 3 years.
I apologize for the debate. It looks as though we're already putting trail in that's going right past that opening.
That's all we're asking for, I
think. Yeah, it's already there.
Make meaningful connections to that neighborhood.
Maybe could you just put that up on the screen so everybody can see that?
Do you have the one? It's just the landscape plan, the grading plan I have for two.
If you're already putting it in, that might help.
To answer part of this question, is as far as a standpoint of physically grading a trail, as part of the field construction, we are basically connecting the trail up there, since it is the athletic trail. As far as a programming standpoint from the school to make it a public trail or maintain it more than they do, I would leave that up to Mark. But from a physical site standpoint, we are connecting, and there is a trail that comes down to the practice fields.
Right here. It already goes right past. Right there.
There currently is about a...
And we're paving this, correct?
No, nothing will be paved up there.
It'll be gravel.
No, that's grass.
This part is... The fire department asked us for ambulance access up to these fields. So this part, I believe, is paved?
Correct.
This part is paved. But then, as you can see, I've got the trail here, and I've got the trail here.
Never connects to the street right away.
And then all we need to do is that. And then here's the rest of it. It's down here. And the other part of the cross-country. I believe we've answered our question.
I disagree with that, because you do have a trail that gets there, but people are still going to walk from the neighborhood, cut across the grass and the trees. You haven't connected to the dead-end street there. It just runs nearby, so you're going to have a big, muddy path that people are going to create, and now is the time to pave an extra 15 feet of path.
Well, none of that's paved. None of that's only the bottom part.
And all I'm trying to tell you, and I can't make you do it now, but I think it will be a mistake, that people will find the way in there. People want to get through, and
we'll grade a path, but it'll be long.
My only advice to you is, you want to make meaningful connections to the neighborhood. It's a community asset, and the only way you can get to it is to get in the car and drive in the front door, basically.
I understand.
The more connections you have, the happier everyone will be.
Yes, I understand. Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that this is the cross-country trail. It's supposed to be cross-country. It's supposed to be grass. It's supposed to be muddy. It's supposed to be messy. So we'll connect it here. We'll make a connection here, so that you can use the cross-country path to get down to a football game. That satisfying?
I believe that. I was just responding to the motion. I think the motion was to find meaningful connections to the neighborhood.
Mr. Bickley?
Let Dave go first up.
What question? To Dave.
What?
Go ahead.
The site plan issue, the idea of expansion and everything like that, I'm 100% for it. But the last thing I want to do is have this thing built and be right back where we were in terms of not having access. And if this turns out just to be sort of another ad hoc access, which a grass muddy path is, we really haven't improved it that much. Again, what I'm saying is, if you build an asset, if you create an asset that people treat as a community asset, you won't get people throwing garbage down on the ground. You won't get people with a six-pack hiding in the corner, because you don't have those corners to hide in. It's a trafficked site.
Our challenge would be, Commissioner McNicholas, would be to do that and maintain a cross-country trail. Are you suggesting a paved path all the way to the school?
It doesn't have to be paved. It can be aggregate. It can be an aggregate can cross the cross country trail, but they're just from a common sense point of view, when you take the overview, there has to be a way to get from the east side to the high school without going all the way around the block and creating more 51st Street traffic, creating more entrance and egress problems on 51st Street because you only have those two entrances. And we can't ask people to not drive and not park because we don't have a lot of parking if they can't easily take a walk down a trail.
I have a question for the city attorney. If the amendment and motion did not pass tonight, what would be the result of that?
The site plan as presented and approved by the resolution would be in effect. Meaning what I'm seeing as a trail which almost abuts high drive.
Would the amendment, if the amendment passes, affect the main motion?
Oh, yes. If the motion passes, I'm hearing there would be a trail requirement as part of the approval. There should be specifications of this. And we're getting into aggregate.
Mr. Fowler, and we do have people waiting on other issues that are patiently waiting.
I'll make this quick. I really applaud your efforts to get the sidewalks in the front of the school, and I understand the difficulties of trying to get those sidewalks. And I think we're not that far apart. If I understand what you're really trying to achieve is the protection of your cross-country trail, and I think what Commissioner Micklegg and I am also in favor of a trail that connects from the Highview Drive down to the high school. I think if we were able to come to some compromise of cutting a trail across made of aggregate, comes to the backside of the school, because I think when you get this new school, and I agree, there have been issues on the backside of that high school that you have had. But I also agree with Commissioner Micklegg, once you put these new fields back there, this is going to become more of an active area. And as we found with the Oakleaf Trail, there were some concerns about issues of bringing people into the backsides of people's houses with the Oakleaf Trail. But the activity on the Oakleaf Trail has precluded any kind of criminal activity that I've heard of from the police department, any records that I've seen in the paper, that there has not been that uptick of criminal activity that we've seen because the trail is so used. And I believe when you put those fields back there, there are going to be people. This is going to be a more high-use area than it is now. I think if we're able to come to a compromise with an aggregate trail that cuts straight across down to the school, I think the school can control the back entrance and prevent that from being open in the morning or perhaps in the evening. That could be a controlled entrance into the school, which would preclude people from getting in. So would that, if that would not work, I would like to know why.
Well, it was just pointed out to me that the only places where this grade here is shallow enough, see the tight lines,
mm-hmm.
is here and over at the far end of the site, over by our dump. That's really the only places where you can cross to Shiloh's Ditch. Those two places. And the challenge would be is if we have a gravel path, and in a gravel path, what do I do with my cross-country teams? How can they run on a gravel path? I hope a good compromise would be perhaps we can pave 20 feet of asphalt or wood chips of 20 feet to get you to the cross-country trail, which we mow and maintain. But I don't know that we also necessarily that the school district wants a path that we have to now plow.
Let me ask you this: would some of the kids over there do they have mountain bikes? Will they take mountain bikes? I mean, it's I've got a couple Raleighs in my garage, but the main the form of travel these days seems to be like a hybrid mountain bike street bike. Which has no problems going on that type of pavement, or not pavement, but path. Yeah, I mean, I've ridden on all of the paths up along the Mississippi River and had no problem with that at all. My questions to you are, and they're pretty rhetorical, but approximately how many meetings have you had with the community regarding this project? The high school, yeah, the renovation. And I saw surveys and surveys and surveys.
Surveys and surveys, and we did several World Cafes. Wow, there's been a lot.
50. Meetings with the neighbors? Meetings with the aldermen?
Meetings with the neighbors, they came to the World Cafe. The neighbors did.
How many, maybe? How many people? We represent over 35,000 people, and basically, well, you're a little bit shy of that, but the school district is right in there.
I would say there was probably 5 to 10 of those houses right along the site that were represented at those World Cafes, and the tree buffer was very important to them, and that's a large reason why that tree buffer is there.
Well, this is where I'm going. I used to be the alderman for that district, as you remember, because that path that we're talking about, like, it was my first conflict. Bruce remembers that, too. And clearly, right? And my recollection is the people on 47th Street were very vocal about additions and playfields and fireworks and people cutting across their lawns. And so were the people on, is that hillside that goes up along there?
I do.
And so I mean, after all that's been said and done in a referendum question on all this, this is, and I understand where Mr. Miklig and others are coming from. What they're trying to do is they're trying to connect the schools, and it's we should be all applauding for it. But I don't know that after all these surveys, all the cafe meetings that you've had, that either the neighbors or the people of Franklin have had any input into this additional path that's now being proposed. And I personally don't like that. Call it policy by ambush. I don't like it. And we are sort of artificially inflating your costs without the public having input into it. Now, I would say, and I take this from what Mr. Fowler was saying, is I think maybe we could work on this. I think that we're not, with you bringing up the map and showing that actually you've got a path in there, I think we're pretty close. But I sure would hate to see for the entire site plan not to get approved because of something that was not discussed with the entire community. It's 51-52% of the people in the community voted for this. I mean, to get the school done. First-hand experience, I went to a new school on the northwest side, and I sat and I waited for 3 years for all the additions to the school. And so while we might be willing to wait, I think the sophomores in the school want the auditorium and they want that school up and running, and so do all the parents. So I'm asking my colleagues here to look for some way to bring a compromise to this. I don't think you're far apart at all. In fact, I think you're very close. This is not a new subject that we're talking about. High school has been talked about for at least as long as I can remember being an elected official. Mr. Fowler?
I think I should. Mr. Rivers.
In regard to the regulations for cross-country tours, do they require a turf trail, or do they allow alternative materials, at least on some portions of the trail?
My understanding is that it has to be cross-country, not cross, like, the one I can think of is the trail, the asphalt paved bike trails out in Waukesha County. It can't be something like that.
It can't be something like that.
Well, I would agree with the mayor. I think we're very close on this. Would I be correct in presuming that you have agreed to make the connection to the street up here, that at least make that high view drive connection? You've agreed to do that?
Okay. That's a fair assumption.
Well, and I would agree with other comments that have been made here. Once you open that up, I think you're going to get activity through there. You put athletic fields back there, you're going to get activity there. It's going to become more like you've had practice fields on the south for many years now. I think you're probably going to move toward it sort of in that direction in terms of the level of use and acceptance of it, that sort of thing. So I would agree with the mayor. I think we're fairly close. If you're willing to go ahead and make that connection, I'd like to see it get done, but if it gets put off until some point in the future and we allow this facility to go ahead and get developed and we see what the level of public use is, and if you could look into it and find out if there are other materials not paved, I recognize that a cross-country trail would be a paved trail, but I would hope that there might be some latitude for some other materials of some sort, or at least a portion of the cross-country trail. But I understand you wouldn't necessarily need to really look at it at this point. But it's something that could be worked into future improvement on the site. So I'd agree with the mayor. I think we're very close. If you're willing to go ahead and make that commitment to make the connection to Highview Drive, I think it's probably something we could go ahead with.
No, we're honored to have the president of the Franklin School Board here tonight, Janet Evans.
Hi, thank you, Janet Evans, 4415 West Hilltop Lane in Franklin. I cannot speak as school board president. I'm speaking as a citizen, but many of us were at the first Safe Routes to School meeting that we had, and at that meeting I did take a tour of that trail, and it's a very long trail, and afterwards I did speak to members of the fire department, and I just want to point out that they did say if we did ever pave that trail, it is a safety concern to have citizens use that trail because it is so long, and they have to be able to have access on that trail if something does happen on that trail. If it's unsupervised, they have to be able to get up into there. They were concerned with the main access onto the trail from behind the school and being able to get back there during off hours when school is not in session. And I just wanted to point that out. It's something that I think you need to consider when you're making your decision, that you should talk to
the fire chief. Yes. And we, just so you know, when we were working with Mauk County Parks system on the Oakley Bike Trail, much of the discussion took place with our emergency personnel as to whether we could get personnel to that bike trail if we needed to do it. So it's a good point. There's also the alderman of the district is here. I don't know if Alderman Schmidt, you're the one that's probably going to get all the phone calls from the people on 47th Street. Is there anything that you want to, because I think you...
Thank you.
Well, I think if you, yeah, let's move to suspend the regular order of business to allow
so
the
moved.
District. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Schmidt. Yes.
Doug Schmidt, 7961 South 68th Street. I've been around there since cross-country course was originally designed. As a matter of fact, we helped choose it because we opted to host the original Parkland conference meet because we were fortunate to have that kind of undulated terrain and the wooded area there. So for many years, it was Franklin was the home of the conference cross-country meet. And in reference to what Mr. Cloutier is saying, if we start to blacktop it or anything like that, it ceases to be a cross-country athletic trail. So it has to maintain its natural texture to be a competitive athletic facility. So as far as the connecting it, I'm really not sure how that will fit in with... Because there would still be access to the back of the school, basically, right? If it's coming from the east... So, then there's a pathway going to have to come around to the front of the school?
I believe all we're talking about, Alderman Schmidt, is just this 20 or 30 feet right here.
Oh, okay, just that one area.
You have that effect on things.
Want to come back up?
Go ahead.
I believe we're just talking about this. Here's Highview Drive, and here's our cross-country trail. We're talking about this 20 or 30 feet right here, and my recommendation would be to wood chip it at this point and see what happens with it over time, and then potentially aggregate. But to stay out of this, to stop at that line right there.
Right. So that would
whatever treatment we put north east of that.
So that would still be outside the limits of the actual cross-country trail.
That would be my recommendation.
So all I know is, well, the other trail that we got in there on the to the south there seemed to work out pretty well. So.
Are you for the overall site plan?
Oh, yeah.
And on the amendment, are you for the amendment or against the amendment?
If we can reach this compromise here, I would definitely support it.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm becoming more aware too, like the parking is continuing to be becoming an increasing problem as we speak. The combinations we made along 51st and Drexel seems to be exceeding what we provided. So definitely support increasing the parking.
Right.
Can I amend my amendment?
Yeah, I'm just going to, let me, we return to a regular order of business.
So move.
It's been moved and seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I just have a motion carries. Mr. Bickley?
Well, first of all, my memory of cross country, I couldn't run the long distances, but back in high school, cross country is a multi-surface discipline. So you have to have a majority of your run has to be on, like, turf, but you can cross aggregate and things like that. I think we can agree if we amend it to read provide a sanctioned public access from the east Highview Drive. And by sanctioned public access, the reason that that's important is because unsanctioned yet public access is what creates these problems that you're worried about and the neighbors should be worried about. Sanctioned public access makes it something that people recognize as something they have to take care of. They're being observed. It's trafficked enough to the point where you aren't going to get the bad guys. Only the bad guys use that goat trail and things like that. So as long as we maintain, here's what I'm thinking about. You live up in that neighborhood. You're 16, 17 years old. You have special needs. Want to get to an event. Go to a theater presentation. Go use the trail. Do you have to get a ride? Do you have to use a car? Or can you take a walk on a sanctioned public entrance? So it doesn't have to be fancy, but it has to provide an opportunity for those who may not be able to drive, don't want to drive, can't drive. So if we can arrive at that.
I guess I don't know what the definition of sanctioned public access would mean. My thoughts were is that we put gravel or wood chips that 20 or 30 feet, and it certainly looks like I'm supposed to be there.
That's a visual sanction right there.
So what you're saying is that we need to treat that 20 or 30 feet.
Treat it as a sanctioned public access. Visually, you have to look at it and say that's a sanctioned access.
I guess I'm not sure. Again, I'm still not sure what sanctioned means, other than we're willing to put wood chips between the cross country trail and Highview.
I would say it's up to the property owner. It'd be like hunting on one's land. You sanctioned to hunt on it.
Okay.
It's up to the property owner.
And I can't put no trespassing signs there. I believe that's what we decided.
And if we ever had a problem regarding interpretation of this, we can certainly come back and meet again.
Sure.
I know how much you like to have meetings.
Absolutely.
I just want to make one last point. I agree. I think this compromise will work with the woodchips, but there are some things that can be done to a grass trail, keep it a grass trail. Because I think you're going to find that if you do put a grass trail and you get a lot of use on it, it might going to make it more money than you might care to have it. There is like what they call hidden roads or hidden trails with a geogrid that puts it with the soil, and the grass goes on top of the geogrid that allows it with the stability, which would allow for someone with special needs to actually even run a wheelchair over that geogrid and get down to the trail and get to that middle passage, which could also be geogrid. That would be the only section that would be. The cost is not that great. It would leave it to your designer to determine if that's the case. But I think a compromise with the wood chips or a geogrid from Highview to a geogrid trail all the way around that keeps it that grass type of system for the cross-country trail, I think might work.
Wow, if they could just do this in Washington and up in Madison, some compromise, just think, huh? Unbelievable.
Other than a geogrid, now you have added a potentially significant cost, because that's quite a bit of distance.
Well, I would leave it to your designer to determine where they would need that, because if you do get a lot of walking on that,
sure,
you could actually cause some harm to your cross-country trail.
Mr. Ritter?
I would just suggest, in lieu of an amendment to the motion, if we just add the city attorney can help us, just add a condition 15 with regard to the applicant shall provide a trail connection to IP Drive or something of that order. And
might be cleaner.
Amendment, that would fit it into the resolution and that work. Would that satisfy the objectives?
I think if we have to use the word sanction and public access, which doesn't pin them down to a trail of some sort, but it has to just be access. And down the road somewhere, we have a Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee that could help find a grant to help improve that sanctioned access in some way.
Parks Department.
But it has to be established and in there before those improvements off your budget and off the city tax rolls can be done. So if we get that start, we can improve as we go. So I would go with that.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good compromise. I think that it's vague enough and ambiguous enough that we can work.
And I think we have to withdraw the amendment. As a second, I would agree that we withdraw the amendment.
Okay, just so we all know when we leave here what the amendment was. Mr. Fuchs, I'm sure you have this down, right?
Yes, I believe the initial amendment to the motion was an amendment to include a trail to the east of the high school to connect 47th Street and neighborhood to the east for entrance and egress, and it was also later proposed to be amended to provide a sanctioned public access from the east at Highview Drive.
And what would be the motion to the amendment, or the amended
the motion with the
condition? Yes.
Subject to. The site plan amendment motion is a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for property located at 8222 South 51st Street to allow for a 25% parking increase in additions and renovations to the Franklin High School building and site. And if the Plan Commission wishes to go with the second proposed amendment, subject to providing a sanctioned public access from the east at Highview Drive.
Mr. Cloutier?
I wanted to get some clarification on the smaller parking spaces for the landscape. Has that been clarified?
No, this is the amendment we'll take up first and on the path, and then we'll go to the main motion. As far as I know, we're going to the amendment, or I'm sorry, the main motion would increase the parking by 25%.
How about the size of the stall?
That would come back as a parking plan. Parking plan would be prepared to try to address as many of those concerns as staff pointed out. We'd bring that back to the Plan Commission and see if we could reach a compromise on that.
Can that be worked through just with staff? Or can that be worked through just with staff, or does that require a resubmittal to the Plan Commission?
We were recommending bringing back to the Plan Commission. If they can make the decision themselves, delegate to the staff or require it to come to them.
So why don't we take up the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. On the main motion, all those in favor, please signify. Yes.
We haven't addressed the issue of the completion date. I presume the applicant had requested revision of the completion date. It says within 1 year of date of adoption, and they apparently indicated that that's not a practical specification, so it would seem reasonable to revise that before we take action on the resolution.
Well, we have an amendment. We already took up the amendment, so we are on the main motion. Is there the motion that I have, to correct me if I'm wrong, is a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for property located at 8222 South 51st Street to allow for a 25% parking increase in additions and renovations to the Franklin High School building site. Is that the correct motion?
Okay. But the resolution that we're supposed to act on says that this shall be construction within 1 year of the date of adoption. The applicant indicated that's not realistic.
Okay, what would you like to add to the motion?
And that's where we are at this point.
Okay. City Attorney, you have a suggestion?
Yes, as the architect indicated, I believe he said August 2015 is anticipated completion date. The 1 year period is standard form in site plan resolutions. and that's been planning commission practice, but it's not required by code. What is required to keep the site plan approval in effect is building permit and start of construction within 1 year. So just change, or the commission can just change the 1 year to 30 months. It's 2.5 years.
Any problems with that?
Any objections?
I'd recommend we change the language to from 1 year to 30 months.
Okay, to add that to the already to the motion? Okay. Yeah, are you making that motion?
I am making that motion.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. All clear?
Never mind.
Do you want the do you want Mr. Fuchs to read back the motion for you? Or we can make it available to you.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine. I just wanted to give you a clarification on what Mark has.
All right. Next item, I guess we'll return to regular order business, and that's item three. Oh, wait, we have maybe Southbrook Church. Is that going to be is that very long or drawn out? I wonder if we can take that up. Sir Diedel? Take that. If it's going to be a quick item.
Okay.
I know the pastor has lots and lots of things to do. So.
Okay. So this is item 3D on the agenda. There is, I believe, also a public hearing. And this is for the rezoning. The
okay.
public hearing for the comprehensive master plan amendment will be held at the next common council
meeting. All right.
So this public hearing is for the rezoning.
Mr. Fuchs, can you please read the motion or the notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 9th, 2013 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by the City of Franklin for approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning map to rezone certain parts of the land from I-1 Institutional District to BP Business Park District. For the properties located at approximately 9733 South 76th Street.
Okay, that's item D.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to open up item D for public hearing. No testimony required.
That's one.
Okay. Is anyone wishing to come forward regarding item D on tonight's agenda with the notice that was read regarding the public hearing? Is there anyone? Yes, sir. If you could please come forward, please state your name and address for the record.
Michael Hannigan, 9705 South 76th Street. It says parts of that plot, what he just read there, doesn't say the whole thing. It says parts of it. So there's two parcels there, or how many parcels in there is there, and how many do they want to change? You know, there's no clarification about what they're going to do.
Okay.
You can keep part what, you know. That's it, I guess.
Sure, that's a fair question.
Okay.
And Mr. Fuchs or Mr. Steele, can you address that?
There are two properties involved, and I can bring them up on the screen. I'm not sure parts. The hearing notice does say certain parcels, and it is talking about the full.
Well, before you get up, is there anything different between the parcels that were rezoned institutional than the?
No.
So it's the identical parcels.
Correct.
Okay, but yeah, for the benefit of this gentleman, maybe you could just point it out. I would like to, while you're doing that, is to thank Southbrook Church and the minister and all those that for their reasonableness regarding this. It's very much appreciated.
Is this larger parcel?
This was Alderman Skronsky.
The smaller parcel here.
Okay. Can I clarify it?
So
they can give, they can run you a map of
the whole property.
Whatever they had rezoned to institutional from what it was, I think it was residential. It had been zoned residential, so it's going to go to business park, if I remember right. Okay. All right. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? could, please state your name and address for the record.
Ken Skorowski, 8642 South 116th Street, Alderman representing the 6th District, which is parcel in. I commend the church to request to bring it back to its original zoning, business park, and I fully support it so it comes back and meets the comprehensive master plan. Thank you. Right,
thank you very much, sir. Anyone else? Well, if I could, just to see if there's anybody else who'd like to speak during the public hearing. Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing on this item? If not, yes, sir. Go ahead. And if you could, please state your name and address again for the record.
Michael Hannigan, 9705 South 76th Street. It wasn't originally business park.
No, it wasn't.
He's saying it's bring it back to its original business park. It wasn't. Right. It was like R11 or something.
That's correct.
Okay. So.
It's on the master plan as business park, but you're correct.
But it was never zoned that way. Yeah. There's a lot of things on the master plan that never happened.
You're correct.
Okay. That's okay. All I have to say.
I'm going to have to argue that you are absolutely correct. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? If not, we'll close the public hearing. Mr. Deedle or plan commissioners, do you have anything else? If not, is there a motion regarding this item here?
Yes.
Let's see. I suppose it'd be handy if I put my glasses on. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to rezone certain parcels of land from I-1 Institutional District to BP Business Park District subject to the approval of the related comprehensive master plan amendment?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Again, thank you, Minister, for... We have one more? Oh, sorry. Strike what I said about being reasonable. Let's see. Is there a motion to approve a resolution recommending adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan, change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for property located approximately 9733 South 76th Street from institutional use to business park use, pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes Chapter 66.1001, paren 4, paren B?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now I can thank you again. So, all right. Let's go back to the item A. Tiffany Gutman. Mr. Deal.
And there is a public hearing on this.
Mr. Fuchs, could you please read the public notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 9th, 2013 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Tiffany Gutman, doing business as Positively Behaved K9S Corporation, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 752, Animal Specialty Services, to allow for a dog obedience and training business use upon properties on B4 South 27th Street Mixed Use Commercial District located at 9438 South 29th Street.
All right, I'm going to open this up for public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding this item?
Hi, my name is Tiffany Gutman, and I am the owner of Positively at Canine Stop Train. I just want to take a second and just introduce myself and give you a little history on my background. I have been dog training for over 15 years, and in 2003, my passion of helping people and saving dogs, I opened Positively Behaved Canines Dog Training. It is a obedience training facility. We do group classes. We do private lessons in-home and in the facility. We do behavior evaluations. A very good, positive reputation in the surrounding communities.
Could you step up a little closer to the microphone so people are signaling they can't hear
I have a positive reputation in the surrounding communities. Majority of my business is referral business from past clients, current clients, and a lot of the veterinarians in the surrounding areas as well. I've been very blessed with my business and has continued to grow, which is why I started looking for a new facility because I had outgrown my old one. Hoping to very much be a part of the Franklin community and bring good neighbor dogs to the community. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? This is your time to be heard. The Bowlenders, are you here for this item? Okay. Nice to see you again.
Good evening. My name is Sandra Shaw, 5701 South Melinda, Milwaukee. I'm a customer and have been for about 8 years with Tiffany, and I just wanted to talk about the reliable way that she runs the business that she has been in up till now, and also the fact that I think a dog trainer that's as good as Tiffany doesn't work with dogs as much as with humans. And when we talk about good citizens, citizen dog owners that know how to have a manageable dog and be good neighbors are a real asset to the community.
All right, thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Can I remember, is it captain or a colonel? Or
it's captain. Mike Bowlender. I live in the city of Franklin, 8620 West Marshfield Court. I have also been with Tiffany for many years, several dogs, and I can't say enough about her. When she was in the city of Oak Creek training, I took my pets there. Now that she's in Franklin, I follow her into Franklin. I'm very happy she's in the community that I live in. The one thing I can say about her is she has respect-based training, and she makes dogs be good neighbors, taking care of problem dogs. I tell all my neighbors to go to Tiffany because I want dogs that go to her training to be my neighbors because they're good dogs, they're good neighbors. I can't say enough about her. She's a wonderful person, always been very respectful, and she's there to help people and dogs live together and do it the right way. So she's a very positive aspect of this community. She brings money into this community, and I want to see her business stay in this community.
I just wanted to say, I get rare opportunities to say this, but just want to thank you and your family for everything that you've done and great service that your father performed for that city. And say hello to your mother.
I will. Thank you very much.
Kim Bowlender, 8620 West Marshfield Court. That was my better half, but I also wanted to say something. Being an educator and looking at the function of training and kids all my life for 22 years, we have one of the biggest dogs that can be had as APAT, which is a Great Dane. He's very intimidating. He is one of the most gentle giants that I've ever had going through Tiffany's class. We have taken him everywhere and anywhere. He's gone to the vet, and everybody will say, he's so well-behaved. How did you get him that way? And as soon as I say, positively behaved canines, it has been nothing but rave reviews. We are extremely happy with her services and everything she's done for us. And everybody, and like Mike said, getting from his dad, always wanted to get great businesses in the community. We are very fortunate to have Tiffany come to this area.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Hello, Mark Russell, 4101 West Central, Franklin. We have been going to Tiffany for 4 years or so, my wife and I. We had two dogs. One we had to put down over the winter, unfortunately. But we have boxers. For those that don't know boxers very well, very energetic, very athletic, great personalities. But Tiffany is, Tiffany has taught us and taught the dog to be very well behaved. They don't jump. They mind. We've been through training. Our dogs have went through classes and are good canine citizens approved. They passed those classes. She goes and she teaches us. I could go off leash with my dogs if I chose. We don't, to be respectful to others. But the training she provides allows us to have that mentality and that training to have them listen and not be rambunctious, not chase after cars or dog, other dogs or people. She's an asset. It's nice to have her. I live on 41st. She's on 29th. That's very convenient for us. She has been, we'll continue to use her. As the others mentioned, we recommend anybody we meet with pets to go to her, and we couldn't be more happier. We'll be a lifelong to her business.
Thank you very much, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes. Again, if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Larry Schneider, 9980 South McGraw Drive, Oak Creek. I grew up in Franklin, graduated from Franklin High, but my wife and I own the building that Tiffany's going to be using. I had an upholstery shop on 27th and Ryan for 24 years, and we moved over to 13th and Ryan. We were next door to Tiffany. We were neighbors for 3 years, and our dog graduated. Well, he went to puppy training. But, yeah, we get along great, and I would really love to have her as a permanent tenant. She just has to go through the motions that we didn't realize. I hope you'll say yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir.
Converge 7466, South 46 Street, Franklin. I just met Tiffany tonight, so I can't say anything about those people who know her, but it occurred to me that there's a kind of a nice nexus of what's going on here. I don't know if you're familiar with Red Paw Dog Food.
What is it?
Red Paw. They're located in the Franklin Business Park. And I've been running sled dogs for a few years now, and Red Paw is like one of the primo brands. People from all across the country, much of it in Alaska, Canada, down in Illinois, everyone, you know, uses this food. And she's kind of right, you know, same area. I'm involved in the folks that give the dog sled rides at Whitnall Park, and it's kind of like ending pro dog and for. So, if we can kind of build Franklin as a dog friendly community, I'd really appreciate it.
Are you working with the Rock at all with the sled rides?
No, the trails there are not they're not safe for dogs.
We'll have to get Kevin working.
When I ride my mountain bike there, I need to wear a cop. So. Something you want to take the dogs
with. It's changing right now.
Never mind. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Good evening. My name is Vasa Dragidrevich. I know, please, please don't get me wrong on this. All this credit that Tiffany is getting, that's nice. That's good. I know Larry for 25 years. I'm the man behind a building. I own a more property there than a whole block does. I run two businesses there. Bad business is better than no business. I just want to say that I'm not against Larry. I see Larry. I know Larry for 25 years. We were good neighbors, good friends. I wish him the best in his, you know, renting his business, having a good business there, getting income from his business, from his buildings and stuff like that. I just don't want to run into the problem that I got with people next door at Buckhorn. It's a headache from day to day. 25 years, I got a headache over there and sweat. Well, the dogs, I don't know how many dogs still they have there, but it's constantly the problem there and killing my business. And with this kind of recession and this kind of economy, you just cannot afford to lose any business or go any farther with, you know, bad neighbor or something else. I'm totally with them. I don't know how this is going to operate. What are the hours here? If those dogs are going to make a noise, I have a building that people are renting and coming into any time of the night, flying in or coming off the road. Construction workers have been there with me for as long as I've been there. I just want nice, good business there. I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong, but we just kind of let's watch and not
so
build your own business and hurt someone else's business. We're not doing any good.
You're looking for some reasonable hours of operation. And
what are the hours? What's the noise? You know, a dog's going to make a noise. You know, animal is animal. You can train animals as much as you want, but, you know, just so we got some understanding there. That I run a business there, you know, and I don't want to hurt the business more.
Well,
it's a bad experience. The reason I came and the reason I said it, it's a bad experience that I have next door.
I just wanted to comment that not everyone up here may know which businesses you have, but I do. And the restaurant that you run is absolutely terrific. And I've, as you know, I've toured your motel on several occasions. You're not going to find a cleaner facility in Franklin. So it's a class act, both of them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. My health inspector went through that today, through the both buildings. I haven't gotten ripped up for anything yet. And I like to keep it that way. I don't want no bad business. If I want a bad business, I'll get rid of it right away. But I just don't want to get hurt, and I just don't want to go and have issues with these people. You know, I like the people. That's a good thing what they're doing. But just so we all understand, you know, where am I coming from? I have a bad experience with next-door neighbors.
So if you, if the plan commission was willing to make a motion on this, you'd like something included about noise controls and time of operation and things like that.
Yeah, something like that. It just won't hurt rest of us around here on the block, you know. For some people don't care. There's a neighbors there that don't care. Whatever is there, it doesn't care. But, you know, other business get hurt, you know, from the others. So I like to be there, you know.
Well, Alderman Wilhelm and I sometimes get calls from a person over on 31st Street over by Northwestern Mutual when they're doing their plowing operations at 9 o'clock at night, and the bells and the whistles, and the person, he rents out the facilities, and his clients are always calling him, so it's, you know, it's a legitimate concern.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I don't create any enemy. That's not what I came here for. I just came here to just make sure that people know that I had bad experience, and it's still there. It hasn't cleaned up yet. That what it is next door with the neighbor, with the dogs, and I don't know who's renting there, who's living there, what's going on there. There's more dogs there than they're supposed to be there. So I really appreciate it. If I lose business there more than I just did in the past, might as well pack up, put my hands in my, you know, in my pockets and walk away from there.
Well, I think we all want to say we appreciate the fact that you did build in Franklin, and it's both of your facilities are...
I ain't going nowhere. You know, I'm there, and I'm stuck there forever. So I came, I find a decent place, happy place to be at, and I like to keep it that way.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
While we're having this, could we just see the proximity of his location to the proposed site?
This is the subject property, this is the hotel property, and the Two Brothers restaurant.
And I have toured the facilities because of the terrific place over on the corner of 27th and Ryan Road on more than a couple occasions. Okay, we're still under public hearing. Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Anyone else wishing to speak? Is the alderman here? No. Okay. All right, if there's no one else, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Deedle, do you want to comment?
Staff wanted to note that we were recommending no action tonight. The applicant was agreeing with that, too, to work out more of these details, in addition to what was talked about, some parking issues as well.
All right, so this actually, you're recommending that we not take any action?
Correct, and the applicant was okay with that.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Seeing none, I don't know that we need a motion today.
So that will bring it back to the next
correct, next meeting.
Okay. For those, I don't know if all of you heard, but we're not going to take any action tonight, and there's some more details that the applicant needs to work out with the planning staff. And then when they're finished, the planning staff will then bring it back to the plan commission. Did I get that right?
Okay.
Thank you all for your patience. The high school, sorry about that, but, you know, that's going to affect thousands of people for the next 100 years. So got to try and get it right off the bat. Try to do something new in government. So. Okay, let's see. Pleasant View Victory Creek Trail Construction. What are you here for? Two people in the back. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? I think everybody's here for the trail. All right. I just thought if it was simple, maybe we could take care of your issue. Mr. Deedle.
Item 3B is also a natural resource special exception, so there's a public hearing scheduled. A little background, I guess, is so this is Pleasant View Trail. We scheduled a public hearing for natural resource special exception. This is for just that proposed southern alternative route. After the public hearing notice was sent out, we had a site visit with the Army Corps and DNR, and they brought up another possible option, northern route crossing the wetlands. So if the Common Council would, so normal process would be Plan Commission would make a recommendation tonight to the Common Council. The Common Council would decide.
Maybe you could just, for those that don't know what that map symbolizes, give us some geographic references. And maybe talk to us about the proposed park that's in that area and where the creek is and where the proposed bridges are.
So to the south would be Rawson Avenue, and you can see at the bottom of the photograph there is Victory Creek subdivision. Immediately north of that subdivision is the creek that we're proposing to cross, because the lands to the north of the creek are city-owned. Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District had acquired most of those lands and given them over to the city. To the west is, to the north and to the west, is the existing middle elementary school, Pleasant View, and immediately south of that is the proposed city park. So all this is...
And they gave it over to us with conditions.
Yes, there's an easement, there's an easement on it. It can only be used for passive uses like a trail. No motorized vehicles, no baseball fields, nothing like that. So the city has vacant land right now south of the school for a future park. The city has a plan that shows a trail roughly parallel to the creek on the south, roughly located on the north side of that creek, to extend east and west off these properties all the way up to 51st, eventually all the way possibly to 27th Street. The high school would be south of this on the other side of Rawson. There was a safe routes to school study done for this general area and high school. Out of that came a sidewalk on 51st, recommendations for future additional trails. None of those previous efforts, the conference master plan that shows a trail parallel and north of this creek, the safe routes to school, the park plan, none of those plans were trying to pin down the location of the trail. They were showing approximate locations. The city applied for a grant to follow up all those plans, to try to put a trail in this particular location to connect that subdivision to the south, to the school, to the park, and to the subdivisions to the north. In that grant application, there were some maps that showed a couple different alternatives, but most of the maps showed a southern location. That southern location is the information that we used, staff used, to prepare this public hearing notice. Sewer PAC has done their wetland locations, but just for that southern location. As I noted again, 2 weeks ago, there was a site visit with the DNR and Army Corps on there, and they identified another potential location to the north where the wetland is skinnier. So out of that concern, city engineer had invited Sewer PAC to come back to look at that northern location and the southern location, and that is scheduled for next week. We've also invited Army Corps and DNR. I have not heard yet if the DNR is going to be able to attend. But the idea would be to start that process, because at Tuesday night's Common Council meeting, this issue was brought up as well. And the motion was to direct staff to start working on a northern alternative. So we got Sewer PAC to go out there next week to map the wetlands. We're inviting the DNR to go out there to further discuss this. So we will be continuing to work with that northern option. We still have the southern option on the table as well. We have a public hearing that has to be held tonight. Staff is recommending the southern location. We believe there's pros and cons for both locations, and there's and the other item related to this on the agenda tonight, there's a table and a staff report that lists those pros and cons. We believe, staff believes, both options are viable, but we are favoring the southern one. But the Common Council makes the final decision. To expedite the matter, because we're not sure which way the Common Council is going to vote yet, staff would be recommending that a motion be made about this matter and forwarded to the Common Council. So the Common Council would have, hopefully as soon as possible, the opportunity, the options to pick either one. We gather the information in the northern crossing as quickly as possible as well. So if there is a choice, or if the Common Council would choose to go with a northern location that has any wetland or floodplain impacts, we'd have to do a natural resource special exception, a separate one for that. There are options and possibilities. A bridge could be built. There would be no such impacts. That would have to be determined through the sewer pack work and DNR discussions and permits and those things. As I mentioned again, we're starting that process now. So the main item, the item on the table right now is the natural resource special exception, the public hearing for just the southern crossing. This
Where
is
we,
related to the other matters.
Nick, can I use your laser pointer before we open it up? Because first of all, we have to have the public hearing tonight, right?
Yes.
Okay. So at least we have to take
public comment
tonight. The Plan Commission does not have to take action on this.
Staff would recommend so, but they don't have to.
Okay.
There are deadlines and time frames that eventually would have to be met, but because the city's the applicant, the city can always grant itself.
Right. Just a point of order, Mayor. Yeah. I asked the city attorney's opinion if I have to recuse myself from this matter, as I was an MMSD employee and this property did avoid the MMSD.
Oh, okay. You did ask him that? Or?
I'm asking both.
City attorney?
General rule under Section 19.59, the ethics code, local officials, as well as state code, is that by definition there's no inherent conflict between different levels of government, whether it be county, city, or the like, unless in that level difference there's a supervisory authority.
Okay. Here's my question. This is almost going to be simple, almost. I never used one of these, so everybody close their eyes for a bit. All right, the red line, is that the red line? I mean, is that the trail? Is that what you're recommending, the red?
No.
Okay, where
that would be approximating the old, or the park plan, the conference and master plan location.
Which one are you?
And the grass trail.
The white one?
So staff would be recommending the darker blue on the left, and then where the dark blue and light blue overlap.
Okay, why don't you go up there and show us? Is there a bridge right there?
There is a bridge.
What about the one in the middle, sir?
This it follows the ad hoc mode path that's currently there, crossing the wetland, and then comes up north and meets up with the blue line of people. Staff will be concerned.
Okay. Simple question. I know this is going to take hours for the answer on this. Is there anything that prevents staff from recommending that it go like here?
No. Other than I would assume Jack was trying to choose a location that was as short as possible.
That's not my question to you.
But preventing us?
Yeah, I'm asking
you.
I do
not believe so.
Okay. Because I've seen some photos, the council saw some photos from Alderman Wilhelm that showed her boot. We had to look at it a couple times, but it's her boot. And then it showed a lot of floodplain, or a lot of the path that was underwater. And I thought there was some questioning, Mr. Bennett said, well, many paths are underwater. So that, basically what I took that to mean was that Alderman Wilhelm's photos were correct, and that current path there would in fact be underwater certain times of the year, or could be.
Right? But if I can point to it, I suspect primarily the water issues will be this way. The farther away from this dark wetland, the farther away from that wetland, the drier, so the most of the water problems
okay.
will be.
Watch your eyes. What about in here?
So that is relatively dry right now. Further north would probably make those neighbors happy. But I would not believe it's water issue.
My whole issue is, my question is, will the children and adults, will they be having to try and navigate through water at any point on that trail?
Yes. During flooding events, that portion of the
road. I don't know if the grade school kids take cars to school now, but I'm guessing it's probably bicycles and they walk. So that subdivision that's down here, the kids in there are going to, once this is built, they're going to take that, if it's open. But if it's not open, how are they going to get to the school?
Then it's correct. The normal practice would be to close that trail or portion of the trail down if it's flooded. But it's possible that two ends of the bridge could also be flooded at the same time. And both areas could be flooded and we have to close them.
Okay. So how would we prevent that? How would we solve it so that that path is, for the most part, going to be open all the time except for maybe when snow falls on?
This bridge would have to be replaced with a larger bridge, and a brand new bridge would have to be replaced over here.
Mr. Mickley?
We looked at the bridge, and we photographed it during the high water issues we had a couple weeks back, and that's about as high as it's going to get. Bridge did not submerge. I think I'm correct about that. And did it submerge?
It
does go higher than the bridge.
We had water 15 feet from our house.
And there, I believe.
Yeah, and I I know you've been waiting a long time, but normally we have to suspend the regular order of business, and we will do that to allow you to have input. In fact, we're going to have public testimony in a moment, but just so it's orderly here, Mr. Mickley, you have the floor.
So the. I believe that it may be at when it's at its highest and when it's during the rain event, it probably was submerged. And then after that, when the water's in the backyards, because I'm over here, I get the same thing. When it's just laying there before it starts moving down again, that's when this is all submerged, this whole area here. And we've got photos that were taken in this whole area here where the ad hoc trail is actually, you can actually see it's delineated by water on these on these pictures. So if somebody were to come down from here and they see the water, they've got a choice. I either cross or I don't. I don't want to give them that choice, to tell you the truth. And if they come from here and they can't use the trail, it's a trail that's not used. Whereas if we are able to go up higher, and this up here is not a wetland delineation. This is just an overlay on the current map. The wetland delineation was only done down here. If we were to pop it up here, come in this direction, then the only flooding event we have to worry about is the exceptional one that would take the bridge.
100-year flood, you mean? Okay.
That we've been getting every 2 years. But we wouldn't have this entire washout here. If we go with an aggregate and that washes out a couple times, that aggregate's going to wash with it. So that's why the option of popping up here gives you the law of percentages and the safety aspect. It's a city-sanctioned trail. Probably want to keep them out of the water. When we did the walk with the permitting agencies, which is the DNR, Army Corps of Engineers, they identified approximately up here. I'm not going to be dead on, but they went to that area, came over to us, and said, "That's your crossing." So what that indicated to us was, if we use a different crossing, we have to give them a reason that we can't, not why we prefer not to, why we can't use their crossing, and that's might be a problem. Down here we have permitting. Up there, we may not have any permitting at all. And then there was the question of a bridge. It may come down to simply a culvert. I think Kevin has more information about that. So it's still a choice one way or the other, and that's why while I do want to have the public comment and discuss the two paths, I would want to table the exception because I wouldn't want to give the Common Council the idea that this is the route. I'd rather give them full information on both routes.
Okay. Ms. Foley?
One of the issues, maybe you can't see this, but two things that I would like to bring up.
You have a comment?
It's Nix.
We'll give it back.
Can shoot down.
It was Nix.
Which one is the white one? There it is. What you have here, this floodplain that we have here has not been redelineated. I think this is the old floodplain from Sewer Pack. Joel or Nick, correct me if I'm wrong. But in 2 years, Sewer Pack is going to be remapping this whole area. The entire Root River watershed will be remapped. The flows in the KK, the Oak Creek, and the Menominee, when Sewer Pack has done their flood update, have increased by 10 to 15%. And I think the people in the back who've mentioned that water has come up, the sewage district, since I'm one of the flood managers, we are well aware of what Victory Creek's been doing and the high flows that have been occurring on that creek. You have not experienced a 100-year flood on this creek today. If you had one, you would know. It's going to be worse than what you've had. What I'm concerned about is this trail would be located, part of it, in the floodway where the actual water is moving during a flood event, which would cause erosive forces on the trail, which might cause O&M maintenance issues that we have that we could avoid by removing the trail from that floodway, keeping it out of that path. The bridge is another issue. The bridge would be closed at certain times for some of these high flood events. But if you keep the trail in this area right in here, this is going to be floodway. And the floodway will probably expand by anywhere from 3 to 5%. It's possible it will go down because Franklin has a lot of undeveloped areas, but I'm assuming it will go up by 13% because what's been causing these floodplains to expand is the changing rainfall patterns that we're having. So I would also be recommending that we move it up to the north. Where it goes up the north, I believe that to smarter heads that know wetlands better than I do. But definitely keeping it down in this area, I think Kevin can address some of the issues that the county has had with trails that are constantly inundated during flood events or have mud or experience that kind of maintenance. It is a problem for those kinds of trails. So.
Okay. Anyone else want to comment before I open up for public hearing? If not, I'm going to open this. Did you read the notice? No.
No.
Okay. Could you please read the notice, Mr. Fuchs?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 9th, 2013 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application from the City of Franklin for a special exception to natural resource feature provisions for properties located immediately south of and east of Pleasant View Elementary School and east of Pleasant View Neighborhood Park, Zone R6 Suburban Single Family Residence District, FW Floodway, FFO Floodplain Fringe Overlay District, and C1 Conservancy District.
All right, I'm going to open this item up for public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Tim Burge, 7466 South 46th Street.
I'm sorry. You need to swear you in because it's natural resource protection.
My dad's ready. Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Sure.
Okay, please proceed.
For those of you who don't know, if you don't mind, I just...
Oh, it's fine. If you...
Just so you know...
If you can speak loud so it gets
you... This is my house right here. You can't see it through the trees, but I spend quite a bit of time there. And, flooding is an issue. I mean, I've been back there... I think once since the thaw, just because it's a mess. And by the way, I like to run back there. And as far as cross country running goes, most runners prefer not to run in slops. Simple fact, your times are a lot better if it's dry. So you can tell that to high school. I'm on the same page as what I'm hearing the DNR is saying. That a northerly route is better. If you were to try to go south, I mean, the trail wouldn't be usable for a good deal of the time. You talked about flooding the trail, but I mean, I've been out there in winter because I run my dogs out there, and you know what happens is you get some rain or snow in the fall, it thaws, it floods, and the ice will do a heck of a job pulverizing your trail just as much as the water will. So I'd recommend the minimum amount of impact in the wetland as possible. If that costs you a little bit more coin, then so be it, because I'd rather you do it right to begin with. MMSD bought, MMSD purchased this land, right? Not so that we could have trails, not so that, you know, people could enjoy, scenery. When they did it, so they wouldn't have to buy houses that were flooded. They did it so they wouldn't have to invest, not really invest, but basically bail people out because of poor planning. So the fact that you're taking any wetlands at all in a place that was designed to prevent that kind of thing is, you know, that's kind of why I've been against these trails to begin with, but it's like it's just one little voice in the wilderness and people aren't listening to me, but the fact that you're taking any wetland whatsoever is, it boggles my mind. If you indulge me just a minute, the high school, I mean, this is just upstream from the high school. I don't know how many, another 10,000 or more square feet of wetland you're filling there. And, you know, you guys are in a great opportunity here, a wonderful time in Franklin development, because just about every place that's dry has been developed. And the only place you got left is places like this. So, you know, you got kind of have your work cut out for you. So, I would go with the DNR and just an absolutely minimum amount of impact. I wouldn't even go with a paved trail. I would go with gravel, except for where maybe, you know, erosion's going to be an issue. That's it. One other indulgence. The high school, they're filling in wetlands, and then they have the nerve to say, oh, but we don't want to do as much landscaping. Did they provide a reason for that? Is it, again, is it just money, or they don't like trees? Or, I don't understand where that came from. No one asked, why don't you want more landscaping? And I say, hey, you know, you're going to fill in wetlands. I say, plant more trees. You know, I've been, unfortunately, not in this part of the state, but I've been in other parts of the state where they have parking lots that are, you ever wonder why people drive around the mall forever trying to find a parking lot? A parking place that's close, and they go inside and they have no problem walking indoors for a half hour, but that 2-minute walk in a parking lot, can't have that, because they're walking through an asphalt desert. It's just garbage and it's painful. No one wants it. So tell the high school, you know what, you're going to fill wetlands, you're going to bring twice as much landscape.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Let me thank you for your patience and for sitting on those hard chairs out there. Could you help? Maybe lower that part. No, it's just that it's got to be adjusted on the wick on the thing there.
Thank you.
What's your call?
I'm Mary Starr, STARR, 4132 West Victory Creek Drive.
Right hand is raised. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. I appreciate the fact that you are considering an alternate northern route for this path. And that has been our concern right from the get-go about the flooding issues, which I understand you are now understanding how bad this problem is back there. It has been serious enough that, again, it has come 15 feet from our home. And when we bought the property, we were told, and it's on our map, that our lot line was the beginning of the 100-year floodplain.
Is your home on that map?
Yes. We are right.
Okay.
And so all this flooding back here really does, I mean, it comes, like I say, within 15 feet of the house. And that's before, that, like, if you were to do that southern route as you were talking about doing, from what I understand on the public notice, you're talking about filling in and then putting the path on top of it. Is that correct? It looked like there was some fill that was going to be put in.
There'll be fill put in for fixing culverts, establishing a base, but they're going to try to keep it as close as they can to the existing grade.
So you're not actually going to be building it up where then it would push water back towards us then?
The city attorney is actually telling me that if Mr. Deedle is going to testify, he needs to be sworn in as well. So.
Okay. Well, that was our concern, though. If they did, you know, all kinds of fill on that side of the creek, that would then push water, more water towards us, or it could make that current stronger, which at times has been very strong. And then these kids are going to be crossing that bridge, this old tractor bridge, and walking along that very southern route there. I mean, let's face it, kids don't use their heads. They don't realize how deep things are. Adults don't. And you're going to have kids, I mean, 6 inches of water will sweep away an adult. And you're going to have kids walking with backpacks and whatnot to school. I mean, it's going to be a problem. And nobody's going to hear a kid screaming for help back there. They'll be halfway to Lake Michigan by the time somebody realizes. And I really would stress, please go with the alternate northern route. I think it'd be a waste of money to do the southern route.
Thank you for your patience and for coming down today.
Thank you for listening. I have more pictures too from the recent flood.
Well, do you want to just turn those in? I think turn it into Mr. Deedle. I just, for the record, the witness is providing the planning manager some photos. Okay, anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? I've got like 20 devices all going off at the same time.
Hello, Kristen Wilhelm, 3851 West College Avenue.
Alderman Wilhelm has her right hand raised. He promised to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
What about that parking ticket from 1967?
I wasn't even driving.
Okay. You're on.
I guess I do need to ask a question of someone up here about the map, so you might need to swear someone in who's willing to answer the question.
Anybody that's on like that side of the room?
It would probably be either Nick or Joel. I don't know who would be able to answer it, but.
City Planning Manager Joel Fido has his right hand raised. He promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay, I'm going to approach the map first.
You want the laser?
Did Nick get his laser?
Can someone tell me if this is an overlay map or that one delineation?
That is a wetland delineation, but I am not sure what the source is. We have something different from survey.
Okay, so this was not part of the wetland delineation currently done by SewerPAC in June 19, 2012.
No.
Okay. So when the DNR and the Corps and myself, Commissioner Haley and Commissioner Mickley walked this trail, immediately they said, there's your crossing. It was right about there. And professional wetland delineation that has been completed on that shows a 15-foot upland gap right there. No wetland impacts. So that brings me to the Natural Resource Special Exception. I'm glad you put on hold, because it becomes disingenuous by saying there's no practical alternative to this location when this location was never delineated. And this one here is 8,000 square feet of impact, and if this is truly no wetland impact, you don't need zero. And that would make it very hard for the DNR and the Corps to say, go here. The only challenge we will be faced with now is making sure that this comes up, crosses here, and because of the 5.4% grade, there'll have to be a little dip down. But the dip down actually puts us closer to this part where we want to be. So we dip down, and then right here you go back up on the original trail, and you just take this little spur down right here. The map that staff showed us showed two alternatives. This location was 3,400 feet in length. This location was 4,000 feet in length. If those figures are correct, which I'm hoping they are because that's what they provided to us, then adding this little spur from this dip down right here would be about the same approximate length, and you wouldn't have to deal with all this filling and grading and culverting. They may want to still do some type of culvert. There is more on the water here. But there's a very strange feature here that no one could really figure out. It appears like there's almost a rock formation where this water just like absorbs and goes into this and was flowing with rapid water and coming out on the other end somewhere. I know we could really figure out there wasn't a culvert there. So we don't really understand if there's rock feature there or what, how that water gets from there to there, but it's underground at that point. So I like the way the direction this is going. I could go on and make a lot of different points. I have a lot of photos. I would like to at least let some of the commissioners see the photos that I took because I know the mayor and Jesse saw them, but some of you have not seen these photos of it. And the description of the photo is down on the bottom corner. There's one of the photos shows this area and shows a photo on one side and a photo on the other.
Can we just 1 second? We have a lighter emergency.
If you have any questions on those, I'd be happy to answer them.
On the delineation, or not that it wasn't delineated, I didn't quite understand that.
When SewerPAC was asked to come out, they only asked them to do this L section, which was only the lower, where you see that map now, or the trail now, that's the only section they asked them to delineate. So they never looked at the other. So then staff just took an overlay map from somewhere and made that, and it looks like there's a wetland there, but without delineation, you can't really tell that. So I was out there. Perry is a wetland delineator. He has 25 or more years of experience. He actually
Perry
took
who?
Flags.
Okay. Well, that Perry.
And he tells me, and I concur with his findings, that there's 15 feet wide upland area there that wouldn't require impact, which is exactly where the corner of the DNR directed the trail to go. So the biggest point here is a lot of effort out of planning the bottom part when it might not be even permitted.
Yeah, I have one question. That's I thought you said the other night that you two had been trained in wetland delineation by
Don Reed
and the SewerPAC.
That's
and that, so you're certified for this.
Well, there's actually no official certification, but taking the course, you then qualify to be able to do a wetland. And I did have basic and advanced training courses. So.
All right, anyone else wishing to speak during the hearing? Actually, testify. The city attorney is back.
4132 West Victor Creek.
Okay. And he has his right hand raised. He promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes. I just wanted to reiterate what my wife had already told you about the flooding that we get back there. We've been there for 10 years. We were the third family to move into that neighborhood. We were told that the edge of our yard was the 100-year floodplain. We've seen it go from the edge to the outer posts of our deck, which is within 15 feet of the house. At that point, it's over 6 feet if you walk out into the lower area. One of the neighbors actually brought out a 8-foot aluminum craft with a little motor on there, and he was motorboating around, going up and down both ends. It does get very swift with the current. My wife said, you know, kids, they don't always make the best decisions. So I would strongly recommend that you do go to the north to stay out of that area because, like you had said, that, you know, we probably haven't seen the worst yet. So at some point, I'm probably going to have a flooded basement.
You know, it seems to me, if I can ask a question, it seems to me that I met both of you before, and I think I was an alderman, so I... but I think Alderman Wilhelm actually had me out there when we were looking at phase two and phase three of the development. I can't think of the developer's name, but...
Carrick.
And based on some of the testimony, I think, from the neighbors, it was very similar to yours, that you already have flooding problems, you already have major problems back there. Why would you want to add two more subdivisions?
Well, we're fortunate. They had to go deeper for our building our house, so we're sitting on 16 truckloads of stone, so my croc has never seen one. I'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah, I just said, well, okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to testify at the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to testify? Going once, going twice? I'm going to close the public hearing. All right, Mr. Dietler, I think what's you're requesting is that no action be taken by the Plan Commission.
We were recommending action to be taken just in case the council would prefer the other.
Okay. So you're asking the council or to the Plan Commission to vote on one way or the other.
But it is the Plan Commission's decision.
I am moving to table.
Right. Is motion to table till
second.
What time? Till what time?
Till such time as the permitting agencies okay a southern route.
Okay. And then to bring it back at what? Oh.
To bring it back at such time. So do it in the correct order.
Second. Mr. Deal?
Or until more information on the northern route is available, and then we would like to look at that too.
As I understand it, sometimes we do this before we get DNR, Army Corps of Engineer permit, but I don't think we're supposed to.
We can.
And,
but it's the city's choice.
Yeah, and I've seen the Common Council, when this is brought before them, they take that as like a de facto, okay, this is the... So that's what I'm trying to avoid. So I would say until such time as the permitting agencies okay a route.
And who seconded that?
Okay. Second.
Under discussion, Mr. Fowler, well, Mr. Haley, and then Mr. Ritter.
It's my understanding, one of the things that we do with the district, at the sewage district, when we do have to go in for projects, in many cases, the Army Corps and the DNR will not weigh in on a permit until you have the project actually kind of scoped out. So I would like, you know, I think maybe we need to have an education of the council and everyone else that in many cases you do have to have the project before the DNR or the Corps will rule on it. But what I'm afraid of in this particular case, as Alderman Wilhelm has pulled out, has pointed out, and I would vouch for Perry's expertise on the wetlands, and I believe him wholeheartedly that there is a crossing that's not a wetland there due to his experience and his training, that they are going to look at this and they're going to see that alternative. However, I'm also concerned that we need to somehow still link this to the park in the south, and I believe Alderman Wilhelm has pointed out a viable alternative to do that, which meets both the goals, I think, to get some of the fees, or I think get some of the funding that the city is looking for to tie it to the park and to the school and have the minimal impacts on the wetlands. I believe if the distances that the planning staff have provided are accurate, I think that northern route is a viable route as long as it can dip down and still pick up the park, as I think others have had desire. From this area. And I would like to just comment on, I think something was said about the district's goals and objectives of the Green Seas Program. Flooding is one of the goals, but they have multiple goals, and one is to, when the land is not to be developed, we understand we're pulling property values away from a community, but we do want to see that they use it as an asset. So we do have allowable uses, and trails are an allowable use on this property to make it an asset to the community.
Mr. City Attorney, then Mr. Haley?
Only that the motion contemplates that reviewing agencies are going to make a decision. They won't even have an application in front of them to decide upon. And you might get comments on the mic, but you're not going to get was to receive a plan commission recommendation within 45 days of the date of the application, have the council get hold its own public hearing and decide without any recommendation from the plan commission.
Mr. Haley. All right. If you'll indulge me, I'd like to take a few minutes here. I know it's been a long night. I'll try to keep it brief, but as has been alluded to, I know a little something about designing, building, maintaining, operating trails. There's a lot that people just aren't looking at here. The first thing I've learned in my many years of doing this is there are always alternatives. Sometimes they're not desirable. Sometimes they're not as aesthetically pleasing. Sometimes they cost more. But the reality is there are options, and you should be looking at it. It's the smart thing to do. And anytime you come in with a plan and you think you've got it all figured out, you're probably making a mistake. Now, enough with that lesson. Something that bothers me a lot, and just did it again, it's starting to become the process is we're here. We're being asked to comment on an exception to our city's natural resources, special exception. The city does not have the final word on this. I don't know why we keep missing this. Wetlands, floodplains, they're controlled at the state, at the federal level. We have additional protections that are put on them. But we keep doing this, and it is disingenuous because it wastes people's time and effort. The process is supposed to, and this is what we did. We've talked about ideas. You've got funding, the initiative of the neighbors, the city's behind it. We want to go with it. You meet on site with the regulatory entities. You show them what you'd like to do. They look at that. They look around. They say, yeah, maybe. The fact of the matter is the trail cannot go here unless the DNR and potentially the Army Corps of Engineers allows for the taking of wetlands, impacts to the wetlands. And that process requires you to identify through the permit. And this is what was just brought up. You have to put in a permit application to get them to look at it. It has nothing to do with Franklin's protections of natural resources. That should be happening after the fact. We should not be approving any of these in advance. We should wait until an application has been submitted and at least you've got enough indication from the regulatory agencies to tell you what you can and can't do. That's what we did on site. The regulators turned to us and said there's at least two alternatives here, one that probably has no impact and one that probably has half the impact. The requirement of that permit is that you identify all practicable alternatives, and then you go through a balancing act and you look at them and try to make a wise decision. And if we come in with an alternative that is not the least, has the fewest impacts or has any impacts, they can say, no, go with this alternative. You have choices here. You must do them. That's just the way it works. And it's naive of us to think that we can make a decision, we can tell the high school, we can tell the city itself, let's go ahead, let's run on this stuff. Because what's going to happen is we'll submit the application. I was there. I walked the site. These gentlemen looked at it and said, you've got alternatives. So you can't come in and apply for the other thing. It's a waste of time and effort. Now, let's just move on a little bit to the trail itself. Cost is always a concern. I did some looking at it. There's alternate routes that could connect all three points as planned. It might involve up to maybe 400 additional feet. Not significant. That does come at a cost for construction. I will tell you that wetland delineations, permit fee applications, consultants to prepare those, all of those things cost money. They cost time. So sometimes you spend a little bit more on building a trail in the right place and of the right quality so that it lasts, so that you're not getting nickel and dimed over the long term with the operation of it. And you put things in the right place. And it's always a balancing act. But there's a lot of practical things. We've heard comments about safety and why would you put the trail where it's going to be underwater. Well, trails underwater don't last as long. They break up. The surface goes to heck. Yes, there are safety concerns with that. I'll tell you a practical thing, and it should be important to elected officials. We have a lot of trails, 115 miles of them. And even those that we knew were designed as best they could that go through floodplain areas, if there's 1 inch of water on those trails, and everybody knew it going into it, we get complaints, phone calls. People don't want that. It's a safety issue, it's an aesthetic issue, and oh, they don't like getting wet feet while they're out on a nice leisurely walk. So let's be smart about it. The reality is you have at least two very strong opportunities here to align the trail on what is probably even a better aesthetic route, gets it away from neighbors, completely avoids wetland impacts, floodplain impacts, and probably will cost you less. Because what we're finding, and it's interesting to hear this bit, but the northernmost crossing point probably has zero wetland impacts. So why have we already tasked the Environmental Commission with making a recommendation when they don't even know what the other alternatives are? We're moving ahead in anticipation of. The fact is, and it's what the gentleman from the DNR said to me, you may not need a permit. You could build this trail in this location starting tomorrow without any interaction from us. There is an avoidance thing. And there's another crossing, which is further south, maybe halfway between the two we're talking about, which has significantly less impacts and actually might be a pretty nice place too. So my point is, let's be smart about this. There are alternatives. You should look at them all. We should get the delineations done. I think what you're going to find is for spending a few more dollars up now, you can do this correctly. You can put the trail where it would be beautiful, usable, have great views, not have issues with floodplains. The issues with the bridge, I suggested on site, there's solutions there. The superstructure of the bridge could stay in place, and you could actually construct the deck 8, 10, 12 inches higher, which would bring it up out of the floodplain. There's a lot of simple solutions. But for some reason, and I don't know what it is, we've keyed in on this alignment right along the creek, and the only rationale I can be given is because people will want to get to the park someday when it's there, and they won't walk around another alternate route. We have a school, we have a neighborhood that can be connected right now. We have a vision for a park, and that connection can be made. There are multiple alignments that can work, and we're just plain foolish not to look at them all. And we're even more foolish to go ahead and approve a natural resource special exception that doesn't even get needed. It's not speeding up the process. Again, we could submit an application. Actually, we could come back with a revised alternative, run it past the government entities and say, go, Bill, it's yours. So that's what we should be doing. This is about being smart. There's a whole lot of things I could tell you about trails and where they should and shouldn't be, but this is why we did the walk with the regulators. This is why we had engineering staff. There was a lot of banter back and forth about different opportunities. We've got that opportunity. You do not need a straight line between a bridge and your park. In fact, I would argue that that's probably bad design, and I think I know a little something about park design as well. You put the trail where the people are going to want to go, and they don't mind walking out of their way a little bit if they get a better view, if they get to some high ground, they've got dry feet. There's any number of factors. So this is all very, very premature. I'm not sure what the love affair with this alignment is. It does work. It would be, if this were my project, I'd be looking at five alternatives, and it would be the last on my list. So I can only ask the rhetorical question, why are we going there, and why are we going there with such fervor? We're wasting time and money to be building a trail.
I think I have a couple of answers for you.
Fire away.
I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you make a recommendation to a governing body, let's say the county board, and even though it's best practices, all that, they just simply reject it because they're policy makers. I can remember there was a guy that came forward and he said, you know what, I think that'd be a great idea if we built a sports complex over on a landfill a few years back. And a number of the policymakers within the city of Franklin goes, nah, never work. Who's going to build a sports complex on that stuff? So some of this stuff could just be that people that are policymakers that run for office don't have expertise in natural resources protection components, or they're not trail designers, or they don't know wetland delineation, and maybe their constituents just want them to get it done and get the kids on a nice path so it's a little bit safer for them. So that might have something to do with it.
There are many reasons, but still you have to pick an option, and if you do not look at all of the options, you've done yourself and your constituents a disservice.
Right. Well, and then for the staff, I mean, I guess I would compare staff's qualifications and educational experience and work life experience with anybody in southeastern Wisconsin. We probably have some of the top people. We've got a living legend as a city engineer. But they work for policymakers. And I think the policymakers aren't perfect. I know that they're doing a really good job out there in Washington trying to make it a lot better. But you know, at the local level, we've got some room for improvement. Mr. Ritter?
Is it correct that the council has provided some direction with regard to developing option plans for the path of this area?
This is just my observation. Please remember that we have two brand new aldermen. I think it's safe to say, what observing their reactions, first I heard of this path was 2 weeks ago. Where they actually looked at it, understood it. I think one of the aldermen wants to do whatever is possible to try and preserve as much of the green space and preserve it so that the animals and the wetlands and the natural flowers, things like that, aren't disturbed. So a couple of the aldermen really didn't weigh in a whole lot. There was more debate about why would you put a path where there's any likelihood whatsoever of there being deep water or children could be affected by it. And I think there was a comment that, well, there's all kinds of bike paths all over the place that they're not functionable because they're underwater. So I think I got it pretty...
The council discussed it and not taking any action. Anymore.
There was a motion made. I made the motion. It was unanimous for option two to come up with an alternative design.
Okay. I'm sorry, but I didn't hear. That's not what I heard. But your question was
a motion. Has the council taken action or decided direction with regard to developing a trail through this area?
Well, the alderman is correct, but I thought you were asking for what was the... What was the reaction of the council or was it temporary?
No, and that's useful information, but that wasn't what I was asking. So the council has taken action to direct what?
Steel.
Direct staff to pursue that northern option.
Well,
to go through the process, get all the information stuff.
I would agree with tabling this item with the motion tabled this item because I do think this is premature at this point. I would agree with Commissioner Haley. We ought to be seeking the lowest cost, long-term, most effective option. I am supportive of wherever the trail goes, that it ultimately connect the neighborhood at the bridge point, the school, and the park. But as pointed out, there are probably multiple options for doing that. So I would suggest that we table this until we have more complete information on whatever the options that are to be developed may be. And then at that point, we should evaluate those options and take action as we consider to be appropriate at that time.
Is that your motion? Or there is
no,
a motion on the floor?
Motion on the table, so
okay.
No, that's not a question.
Mr. Pollard?
I agree with tabling the motion, but is there, maybe we should actually pass a resolution advising the council that we're taking this action and that there is this option out there that we would hope they could wait until we can have some review time for the option two before they would take action. Because if I understand it correctly, the council could act on this without a recommendation in a certain span of time. I mean, would it be of any use for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation for them not to take action until we've had a chance to review this, seeing the sensitive nature of this issue?
Given that they've already taken action to direct the development and consideration of another option, it would seem unlikely that they would take affirmative action on approving this one until their own existing direction has been satisfied.
Yeah, I just...
I agree with what he just said.
I understand that's the logical approach to take, but I'm just saying that having known the council and their operation, I just wanted to reiterate that maybe we would advise them not to do that. I understand.
I have a couple questions to the planning manager. Any grants affected by delay?
We have until June 30th, 2015.
2015. Okay. All right. And has the Common Council designated that they will expend X amount of dollars on.
By approving the grant, I believe they've committed to spending that amount, 90 whatever that was.
But is that based on the which plan?
The grant application anticipated the southern route, showed the southern route, and costed that out and came up with a dollar amount for like $90,000 for our share of that.
What, and what's the time of the council action? Did they approve the grant for the southern action first, or in relation to this directive to consider it or to develop an order?
The grant application first was approved to submit to the DNR last year, and they accepted the grant award from DNR February of this year.
But then subsequently, and so then
this week Tuesday, they directed us.
So their most recent action is to proceed, even though they've already essentially accepted the grant, and then, as you indicated, made a financial commitment to it, they have nonetheless subsequently directed consideration of another option.
I'm going to make just a point that, having been one of the people that helped put that grant together, I'm going to disagree with the planner that that plan was, though it did show on the map, it was an approximate location for the trail, and no final decision was made because we understood in the grant application that there were going to be these issues of wetlands that we knew were there. We looked at the southern route as just an alternative to get a line on the map. But there was also an alternative 2 and an alternative 3 that had been discussed at the Trails Committee as well. So that route, that northern route, was discussed. And it was my understanding with the grant application that that was not a fixed line. It was just an approximate location.
Before I ask for Mr. Bickler.
rather redundant, but worth restating, all along the process, procedurally speaking, it was a conceptual line, and that's how they do it. Don't put a dead-on line at all. You say this is our conceptual line, and then it's costed out with exactly this sort of thing in mind, that when you get out there and you do these specific surveys. So we're right in line with the vision for the grant.
Okay. Is there a motion to suspend the regular order of business to allow Alderman Lone to speak?
I thought we were still
yes.
On a public hearing.
Closed. We do have a motion on the floor. I believe that suspension of the rules. Okay. So, is there a motion to suspend the regular business?
Second.
To allow Will to speak? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
I think the goal on the trail grants, since I'm the trail grant, is to make those 3-point connections in the goal was to meet those 3 connections, and although the focus was somewhat toward the south, it said that other alternatives would be looked at to meet the objectives. So it was not set in stone at that time. If we're going to really stick with what the grant does say, it does say the earliest construction start date is April 2013, and the latest construction completion date, including restoration, is November 2013. So although we can ask for an extension and push it off, the grant says we were going to have this done by November 2013, and we've wasted over a year working on a probably not permittable alternative. And so what I would like to see is some kind of recommendation that we actually get off the dime here and get this thing going. I said from the get-go, let's get DNR and CORE and MMC, which we still haven't solved the MMC questions yet, get them together in a room, which the mayor set up a meeting for us to accomplish, at least the DNR and the CORE. The MMC guy missed us by half an hour. He said he was out there earlier than us. But at least we got that. And had we not done that and the mayor not set up that meeting and pushed for that, we'd still be going down the wrong path. So,
well, and let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is a recommending body here.
So. Right, I know. And I guess I would like to see some sort of recommendation that we actually start doing something. There's a bridge out there that needs reconstruction. I don't see anyone acting on that. I don't see staff doing any work on that. how can we meet a 2013 November construction date that we told the grant we were going to do if we don't do anything but sit here and spin?
Well, so, with all due respect, the staff is going on the southern trail. I mean, their recommendation tonight is for the plan commission to move approval of that. So the first departure from that would be when the common council, if this committee says go with the northern, recommends northern, and then the common council says yes and appropriates,
to
that would be the first time.
To me, I understand. I think Nick and a lot of places were very genuine in their attempts to do this. Nick's worked harder than anybody.
Don't do too much. You won't be able to get his answer.
He's been great support, and he's really done a great job. And I'm really perplexed on where the whole thing fell through, that we weren't looking at any other alternatives. And I think that came from the fact that somebody thought that we had to get the Victory Creek people exactly to the future park in the most immediate route, because if not, then no one's going to use the trail. But what whoever came up with that thought forgot about is to the north of Pleasant View School, and even across Rawson Avenue, are probably 20 times more homes than the isolated subdivision of Victory Creek. So those all people coming all down from the north, they wanted immediate access to the park. So you're actually serving more people by having immediate access coming more from the north than you are from having immediate access straight across in the floodplain. So, you know, the whole thing almost feels like someone is trying to delay the project. And I'd like someone to show me differently, that there aren't more delays and more wrenches in here, that we can't get this thing going. I mean, I've seen an entire Ryan Creek interceptor put in with jurisdictional orders of the time that's taken for us to get this trail going. So,
hardly any problems with that one.
Yeah. So I'm really perplexed on a simple trail. If we put in a simple trail like this, I don't know what we can possibly.
This is a question I don't know the answer to, so I should do this. But wasn't there a lot of discussion with the Parks Commission over this?
About the trail?
Yeah.
I didn't go to the Parks Commission meetings because I've sat on the Board of Health.
I'm asking.
I can answer. Yeah. I can ask that question. I met with the Parks Commission, I think, at least four times. I think Commissioner Micklick joined me at least
two or three
of those meetings. But to answer Alderman Wilhelm's one question about MMSD, I did meet with MMSD staff. I did not meet with Steve McCarthy, but I did talk with Steve Jaggart. My reading of the conservation easement that we have with MMSD would allow for the trail. However, in the lieu of some of the comments that were made by residents, one of the goals of the district is to preserve flood space and floodplains and wetlands. And by not impacting the minimum amount of wetlands by going on that northern route, that would preclude any district issues. The trail, the asphalting of the trail, there's nothing in the agreement that would preclude us from asphalting the trail there. But I think it would help us if we could avoid those wetlands with district staff as well.
I went to talk to Steve McCarthy. I had a conversation with him today. So there are two issues of concern.
Other than they're not in the agreement. Some of the issues he's brought up are not in the agreement.
Okay.
And I don't understand where he's coming from.
Right, and I was told that he was the guy to make the decision, so I didn't argue that point.
Okay.
But it's important that everyone gets on board.
Absolutely.
With the location. It takes a little.
And he may be right. He may be right.
So I'm asking, can we do something on this trail? Can we get the bridge? Can we at least get the bridge analysis back, which the council approved to spend something like $7,000 on the break, which I know was done and completed, and we haven't seen yet. Can we at least get that? And we get a recommendation to go out for bid to start refurbishing the bridge, because without the bridge, you don't have a trail.
You mean recommendations to the council?
Absolutely.
Well, we have a suspension of the rules, but I believe we have a motion to table on the table. All right, is there a motion to return to regular order of business?
No motion.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 On the motion to table. Any further discussion? Mr. Hale.
I just wanted to make one other point. If we ultimately build the trail in another alignment, nothing will preclude the children, the people that currently walk along the edge of the creek on that mode path for using that same route in the future when it's not wet. There will still be alternatives out there. What you do with the trail is you try to create the preferred route for everybody. The users are still free to go where they want to, and if they feel safe walking along the mode path like they have done every day for the last 15 years, they can do it.
Mr. City Attorney.
I wonder if the City Planning can tell the Plan Commission when staff will have completed their specking out of the Orchard Trail proposal.
I believe we will have a proposed route distance before Sewer Pack's visit, but we're not exactly sure where the crossing of the wetland is going to be. We're making our best guess. That exact crossing of the wetland probably won't be determined until that site visit next week. So then we'll probably have to tweak that map. That will give us the information we need to come up with costs. And then with those, with that information, then we could continue proceeding with filling out the permit applications or bring that back to the Plan Commission or Council. Because we're afraid there's going to be cost changes. And we thought, it's our understanding that if there are significant cost changes, we need to let somebody know right away.
I guess the question was, when is staff going to be done with the council direction so that you can say, here's the North Trail, here's where it will go, here's where it will cost. When are you going to be done?
Nick's providing a guess on the way, but I would say that's a very rough guess. We have to make sure that we can get all those regulatory people out there next week, Thursday. Then I'd say I have no problem with that guesstimate.
Of what?
Of regulatory agencies.
So no, what was the date?
End of May.
I would hope after the week following the site visit on May 16th, hopefully that week would be enough time for staff to put together all the options, all the alternatives, all the cost estimates, the bridge estimate, and both bridge estimates if necessary, and then bring it back to the council.
Unless you get one of those calls to the mayor and he says, drop all that and I got something else for you to work on.
Correct.
Yeah, I never do that. Okay, just a comment. I don't know, I can't believe we're going to do this. But, this gentleman over here, I know he knows what he's talking about, Mr. Haley. I've seen his products. I've worked with him on bike trails, tried to work. I don't know if you would have said that I was working with you, but we worked on that Oakleaf bike trail and stuff like that. And Kevin really, really, really knows what he's talking about. And I think we would be really foolish not to take his advice. And so I would ask that the Plan Commission basically make a motion to recommend to the Common Council that they go with the recommendation that Mr. Haley had just made previous, which would be, I believe, a northern route. And just for the record, so everybody understands where I'm coming from, I want to see this thing get done as quickly as possible. I want the kids, I want the people in the neighborhoods to have a bike path. The people in the city love the bike paths. They love the Oak Leaf Trail. I want all of the bureaucracy on this thing to stop. I want this thing to get built. I want a path that is not going to have, it's going to take out as much water problems or flooding problems as possible, because the little children, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the little children sometimes do not know that they should not go into that water. And that's what this is about, you know, and all of this other stuff about my plan, her plan, this, that. Let's just try and do something different here and try and get this thing done and build this for the little kids. Let's just try and do, and I know you're all trying to do that, but sometimes I'm observing this, and it reminds me a lot of when I was at the labor table, and I'd have a grievance between management and labor, and, you know, it was never on the issue. was about he, she, and you're not going to do this. Who's going to control it? Let's just get her done. So I would ask the maker of the motion to table to rescind his motion and to ask the city attorney to fashion some sort of a motion that would kind of incorporate those things that Mr. Haley had said about a northern road.
I will rescind the motion. Although we have to say no special exception or special exception. Do we not? That's why I want to table it away.
Well, I got two gifted guys, but the guy next to me can really write, so I know he can put a motion together. I've seen him do it. I don't know how he does it, but he can do it.
And I don't question his ability to write, but I don't understand what the point would be. The council's already taken direction, or provided direction, given direction, to go ahead and develop the northern option, haven't they?
I understand there was a motion to have the staff work on it. I don't think it was as solid as... I'm a pretty patient person to a point. I think that it would be very, very helpful for the council to get a recommendation from the Plan Commission.
Well, if there's some uncertainty about the action taken by the council, then I guess I would feel comfortable with recommending that the council proceed with developing the northern option. I would be very reluctant to recommend the northern option until we get more information about it. There seems to be a reasonable level of confidence that it would be the preferable route, that it may not require crossing any wetlands, but all those have yet to be firmly established. So I would caution making a recommendation until we have it in place, but if there's any question as to whether or not the action taken by the council will be sufficient to go ahead and produce action on the information about this, as Mr. Dino indicated, the location of it and the cost of it and that sort of thing, then I would just feel comfortable with an action to support accomplishing development.
Well, what I'm trying to achieve is, after what the speaker said, is let's get a recommendation to the council. So, city attorney?
There are actually two trail items on the agenda. So, the mayor's recommended motion could occur under the vocational item and the motion to the table in determination on the special exception. On that particular item. The staff did indicate that we should return probably to the first council meeting in June. Perhaps you want to table it a little cleaner to the first plan commission meeting in June. We have returned to it here also. And that night.
Three B is we'll maintain the table for that motion,
and then the motion would be to table it to the first plan commission meeting in June.
Correct.
All right. This motion on the floor has been seconded to table. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. And, Mr. City Attorney, do you have another motion for the plan commission?
Plan commission considered the detailed comments by Commissioner Haley with regard to potential optional trail locations for the Pleasant View Victory Creek Trail, and upon his presentation and his judgment that a northern route trail is in the interests of community safety, environmental protection, and recreational aesthetic value. The commission recommends the council strongly consider that as the appropriate route.
I would make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Mr. Fuller.
I'd like to add to that also cost, because I believe if they do the true cost of the South, if that's going to be a problem, I wouldn't add it. But I think the true cost of the South route as compared to the North route, I think they're going to be comparable. And I think the council would be concerned about the cost.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes. I have motion carries. Do we have anything else? Okay. How about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. It's been seconded.
I have
further discussion. Seeing none, it's only 10 o'clock. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Yes.
You don't get to listen to them, no.
To what?
We'll move it to the next.
Oh. I didn't do it.
They didn't want to hear me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. We can do it. It's late. We can do it next week.
Yeah, it's probably better off. I told a couple people about them.
Somebody ever